It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. We're going to find out how the Fall Creators Update is going. Microsoft explains all with a graph that makes absolutely no sense. And I'm going to unbox and set up the brand new Cortana speaker, the Invoke from Harden Kardon. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 541, recorded Wednesday, October 25th, 2017. Podcats. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com/windows to save 20% off any order. And by Text Expander, the productivity multiplier from Smile Software. Text Expander is a knowledge base from which you communicate quickly and accurately using a brief search or abbreviation. Try it free for 30 days at textexpander.com/windows. And by 23andMe. With 23andMe's genetic service, you can learn what percentage of your DNA comes from places like Italy, Finland, East Asia, or Africa. Visit 23andMe.com/twit. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. Here they are, Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. Mary Jo Foley from ZDNet, all about Microsoft.com, and together they form a dynamic duo, experts on the Windows marketplace. Hello, boy and girl.
So this week my cat's going to be the problem, but she's not going to jump. She's not going to jump up on me. She's just going
to. I duct tape my cord to my machine.
Was it last week that Sirachi, your brand new cat, pulled the camera off the computer? Oh, no.
No.
He last week was computer.
Last week he unplugged it. The week before was the camera.
Look, you can barely see her now.
What new devious plans is your cat harboring?
Maybe Paul's cat will be the one today.
No, she won't sabotage the show. She'll just be really vocal about the fact that there are people painting the house and she'd really like them not to be there.
Wow. Oh, you're really doing it, Mr. Thief.
I know.
That's good. That's good. Brand new home.
I got my own little echo chamber in here.
More excitement than the lower Macungie Valley has seen in years.
Or Leo, as Google calls it, the lower Macungie Valley.
Well, as we know, hard and soft G's, very, very controversial in all areas.
Yes.
All areas. So, it's been a week since FCU.
It's going great.
How's it going, kids?
Next story.
I haven't heard. Remember last time with the anniversary update, we had the cameras stop working and Kindles crashing. Kindles are crashing. Mm-hmm. Did you order the new Kindle, by the way, Paul?
No. The issue I have with the Kindle e-readers is that they don't display all the content, right? So if you subscribe to different magazines or... Yeah. Newspapers in particular.
It's not good for illustrations.
And I also don't quite understand why they haven't gone color. I thought they do.
That's called the Kindle Fire. That's the tablet.
No, I know. I mean, like
but
a color.
Is there color e-ink out there?
I just snapped her in the face by mistake. I'm sorry.
Oops.
She's being very unusual. Anyway,
it's the Milo and Otis.
I thought someone had one. No,
I don't know. I would think, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember if you can change the color of the ink. I just always use black. But
yeah, I mean that's why I like the Kindle, because it's really solid black and white. But you're right; it's kind of limited. I ordered the new one because it's going to be 7 inches, which is nice, and it's waterproof. So I can take it.
Yeah,
in the
you can use it in a tub or at the beach.
Yeah, both of which I plan to do. Yeah. And it plays audible books, which is really nice.
That actually is pretty good.
It doesn't have a speaker, but it can Bluetooth to a speaker. And then, and you know what it does? You know how the Whisper Sync works, where when you're listening to an audible book with the Kindle, the text highlights. It's like a karaoke or something. And I kind of like that, especially for books with complex names and things like that. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we're here for.
No.
No.
So how's that fall creative something? I
feel safe saying it's going better than expected.
It is. Good.
But as soon as you say that, like this week I wrote a post saying, it's going pretty well, all in all. Of course, every single person who has had any possible problem starts emailing you. And yeah. I would say there are a lot of little one-off things that people have encountered, but overall, I think Paul and I both have not gotten as many complaints on Twitter or email as we did with previous builds.
How many people have it now, would you estimate? 100 million? 40 million? 200 million?
I don't think we know or even have a way to know.
Pushing the Brad button. Brad has somehow been tied
to this story.
To this fade button where I normally fade your lower thirds in and out. Oh. See, Brad comes up every time I press it. Is that a keyboard thing?
I think Brad has been in the studio and has sabotaged it. So he comes up.
Also, round up for Brad.
For people listening at home, we have we do video. Did you know that?
It's true.
And we have
since 2007 or something. I think
we've mentioned it before, but they made a little prairie dog Brad that pops his little head out of his hole, and it's okay now. Oh man,
these guys, I think he's giving up.
Guy came in with a soldering iron.
She's like, you're just going to have to live with it. It's just something that happens on the show.
Permanent Bradley. So, one of the reasons I ask is because Kaspersky, because they're now saying, oh, please buy Kaspersky and we'll let everybody audit it and everything. Mm-hmm. But what they pointed out is that 400 million PCs are running Kaspersky. That means 400 million Windows PCs are running Kaspersky.
Right.
That's a lot. And
astounding.
It's astounding. I mean, they're probably, a billion? How many Windows machines are out there? Quite a few.
Well, yeah.
Windows opinions 10, vary, but 500 million, right?
500 million for Windows 10.
500 million Windows 10, but okay.
Okay, but that's fine. Yeah. That's a good number.
No, I'm sorry. My screen just popped. I think my cat just turned on the mixed reality headset.
You see?
It literally just popped up.
He's playing now.
You need to go. Seriously, Kat, what are you doing?
Let's go to Paris.
The screen just went black and like the virtual reality thing came up. Go do something.
This is a cat infested podcast.
I don't know
what's going on. She's haunting me.
We thought it was a Brad infested podcast. It turns out to be cat infested.
This is unusual.
So 500 million Windows 10.
1.5 billion maybe, but I would say probably closer to 1 billion total.
Whatever. But 500 million Windows 10. So how many of what percentage of that has the fall creators update at this point?
We don't know.
Microsoft doesn't ever say, but well, they do. They'll at some point they'll say 110 million people got it or whatever.
Well, we'll have the usage data for Mad Duplex, which is probably roughly accurate, right? Yeah. Well, what was the date? Actually, we're pretty close. We should get some data.
So let's say it's 100 million people have FCU. If 1% of that. 1/1000 of 1%. It's going to still be many, many people complaining. So,
oh yes. Right. Oh no, no. Yes, and by the way, definitely. Mary Jo and I, between the two of us, hear from every one of them.
We do
every one of them.
So, what are the typical errors that people are getting?
Well, a lot of people have been getting the disappearing apps error, which is they install Fall Creators Update, and then I think it's either mostly or all UWP apps that they had installed, suddenly they can't see them even though they're still there. And the apps are also removed from their installed app list. And this is a known bug and Microsoft's acknowledged it. There's also an unofficial workaround to it already, but that seems to be the biggest one I keep hearing about.
Are the apps uninstalled or?
No, they're not. They're there, but for some reason they just can't see them.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's not a good thing.
No. And I don't know anyone personally who's had it, but I've heard on Twitter from like 3 or 4 people, and there are different forum posts with people saying, yeah, it happened to me too.
But it's fixable.
It is. And that's probably the one that I've heard as the recurring one the most. Other ones are just kind of like, I had, such and such an app installed, and now it's reverting me to an older version, like kind of one-off things like that, but not something that a lot of people are experiencing.
And that's what we want to emphasize is, and that's how Microsoft could miss it. It's obviously some very specialized configure, conflation of of you look like Dr. Evil, you know what this Paul.
Is,
you're not.
This is like when you have babies and you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to feed them.
Yep.
You know, and just like with a baby, the fur is flying everywhere because they're nervous. Because there are guys here. All right, let's do something else. Anywho,
Lawn Dog, who is a pretty serious Windows user, says that the store has always been a little fragile. Sometimes it disappears and it's inaccessible. Or
a couple of people said the icon for the store disappeared, but then it came back. And then, you know, it's funny because I always ask people, what kind of PC are you using? And did you proactively grab the build or did you wait for Microsoft to push it? And most of the time they went and got it themselves and they didn't have it pushed to them.
Don't do that, kids.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you can do it if you're technically savvy or you're an insider, you know, but people who just do it because they're like, hey, it's ready. And then they go get it and then something breaks and then they're like, wait, what happened? Yeah.
To be clear, Microsoft runs compatibility checks and will offer it to you when you are ready. When it, you know, it's compatible, most compatible, and that's the best way to avoid little glitches like disappearing UWP apps.
But you know, that's the thing that's changed, right? I mean, this time, you would think they test this against an astonishing array of devices already, but they made a point of saying, with this particular version, they've tested it with far more updates than their partners have. Far more PC models.
Right.
And their partners have as well. And I think that speaks to the fact that it appears, you know, anecdotally, that this is going up much faster than last release. But I think that's part of the reason why.
Right.
Yeah, me too.
And let's not forget, it's not merely that perfectly new, unused PC that could be the problem. It could be that plus some conjunction of weird things people have installed, drivers for other hardware. Right. I mean, Windows is a pretty heterogeneous environment. It's you don't know what's going on that PC.
Yeah, you could have put in a capture card or a device on the end of your computer, and you're never going to get it now because of that one thing.
Right.
Right. You never know.
There's so many variables. So like even different models, different makes. Like if one person did this to their PC, another person did that. One works, one doesn't. You know, it's pretty. It's pretty impossible to test for everything, but I can tell you, as I mentioned last week, I already got it pushed to me on the HP 13-inch. I haven't had any problems, knock on wood.
Right. So off the top of my head, the only PC I have and have tested that hasn't gotten it is the 15-inch version of the Spectre X360, which is the previous gen device, not the very newest one with the quad-core processor, but... you know, now that I'm kind of settled in, I have a lot more computers to play with again. And this is something I do. You kind of run around and say, you know, do you get it here? Do you get it here? And I've gotten it everywhere. It's really been quite different, you know, than it was with the previous release.
Yep. I mean, some people with Surfaces, especially older ones, didn't get it right off the bat. And they were like, wait, I should have gotten it first, you know. And Microsoft's doling it out to newer machines first. I don't know if Surface Laptop had a delay in getting it too, but in some cases it's driver issues, and Microsoft's been doing firmware fixes and driver updates for the Surface, different Surface models. So I can't say everybody who has a Surface should have it by now, but it seems like many people who have a Surface have it.
Yeah, I don't have a Surface Laptop, but Surface Book has gotten it. Surface Pro.
Yep.
The new one has gotten it.
Did your Lenovo get it, Paul? Because I forgot to check if mine did.
The X1.
The Yoga.
So that one I had actually pushed earlier. I was on the developer.
You were bad.
I got to wipe that one out anyway.
I'm no longer on the insider track, so I will check tonight.
I thought I wasn't either, but you know, a new build just came out, by the way. I'm not sure if we popped that into the notes, but...
I did. I
Spectre X360. I ended up putting it on the Insider program.
You did, I have one guy tell me his bookmarks weren't syncing on Edge after he installed this, which I found really surprising, given all the stuff that they're emphasizing right now with Edge and syncing and push. What's it called? Share with my PC thing. I was surprised when he said the bookmarks just stopped syncing and I'm upset about it. But I haven't heard that from a lot of people. So
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of one-off.
I haven't heard any complaints. I mean, I get little one-off things. You know, you get emails from people like, this didn't work or this happened or whatever. Some people, you probably had the same thing. There are people who are nice enough just to kind of write in and say, hey, I've got this kind of computer. Mm-hmm. I got the update.
Yep.
Or didn't get the update or whatever. And you got to get a rough idea that way as well.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, Cobra in our chat room is wondering, what's the first thing you do when you get the creators update, fall creators update? He says the first thing he did is get rid of the new people icon. And he says most of the people I talk to, that's the first thing they do.
Yeah.
I'm really curious what the impetus was for that, because it's...
Is that your contacts? What is it?
Well, yeah, it's the way they implement it is very strange, because you can pin three people on a taskbar, right? And I think the taskbar, we could make a really good argument that it's overcrowded as it is between the Cortana bar, the quick, what's that thing called, the task view button, the start button, obviously, all the things you might have pinned there, the system tray, there are system icons and app icons, and then, of course, the action center button and the clock and the calendar, and, it just kind of goes on and on and on, and there's just so much stuff down there. And so I like the idea of this. It kind of reminds me, you can go back all the way to Windows 95. Remember that release was going to be a document-centric thing. You weren't going to run apps. You were going to go to documents. Mm-hmm. And then the right app would run. And it was kind of a different way of thinking of things. I mean, they've been trying these ideas for a long, long time. I literally have a snowfall of cat hair occurring here. the cat's so nervous.
Well, he's going to review the mixed reality headset in a minute. So
he's going to curl into it and take a nap.
Yeah, he's a little nervous about his debut.
So when Windows Phone, obviously, one of the big things they were pushing was this notion of a people-centric UI, and that's what this thing is. The idea is you think of people. Like if I contact Mary Jo a lot, I might want Mary Jo's little face down in the taskbar, and I can click on it when I'm mad at her. Click on it and click on it. but you get a kind of a little task list that comes up. Here are the things you can do. I could chat with her on Skype. I could send her an email, whatever. And it also has kind of a history of our conversations, which is something you would see on a phone, right? When you go to a contact card or whatever, it might have here are the things that you guys communicated about and how you did it. It's one of those things in isolation. It sounds like a great idea, but I think on the Windows desktop, I'm not really sure it has much of a place.
But you know what? I wonder if they're kind of setting up for the future when there are more, quote, mobile PCs and mobile tablets that people might want to have something like that on, because it's kind of phone-like.
That's
maybe.
Yeah, that's really smart. In fact, you might want to look at anything they're doing in Windows these days and think about it along the lines of Andromeda or these always connected PCs, because, you can look at something like this and say, I get it, but I don't quite understand what it has to do with this desktop computer I'm using. And that might be why, it may literally be for this different kind of mixed use device.
I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a kind of facetious theory. But computer engineers and most of us geeks really just don't like people at all. And so we understand that people who use Windows are often, salespeople, people who have to deal with people who actually, some of them even like people. And so what we do is we know that. And so intellectually you say, you know what? I don't get it, but maybe they'd want a button, a people button. Mm-hmm. Maybe because that's it's kind of what people who like people want a people button.
This is related to an observation I made some years ago where I was thinking about smartphones and all these communication solutions we have. And it's ironic, right, that the most insular group of human beings in the world, the nerds who hid in their parents' basements, are responsible for this incredible communications infrastructure.
I don't want to have anything to do with them. Most of what we do, we've designed so that we don't have to interact with people, so that the computer will do it, or I could text messaging that's not as bad, stuff like that.
That's what a focused inbox is. It's another attempt to hide you from the crap.
I don't want to see people. I don't want to deal with them. And so, but that wouldn't surprise me then that many of us would just delete the people button. It's probably a fairly satisfying thing to do.
Well, by the way, I mean, when you bring up Windows for the first time, whether it's on a new PC or unfortunately after you update to a new version of Windows 10, I mean, a lot of people, the first thing they do is, I don't want the Cortana search bar there, maybe. Well, this is kind of a...
This is the beauty of a PC. It's your personal computer. Yeah. You can customize it.
Yep.
I like that. That's what I like about it. It's what I don't like as much iOS, because it isn't yours. It's theirs.
Yeah.
It belongs to them. Don't you mess with it now. All right, good.
iOS is like beer, is what Leo just said. Yes. You don't own it.
He did.
You don't own it. Just borrow it. Well, that's pretty much true.
So, yeah. I like the one line in Paul's update story. He said, "It's not a horror story, but I don't want to declare victory yet." Very Paul.
Very Paul. Sure. Is the glass half full or half empty? Well,
I mean, you want to leave yourself open for the notion that maybe something is going to go on south, is going to go south still, right?
You do.
Now, Paul, did you design this?
No, that's
uniquely uninformative graphic.
I know, isn't that beautiful? I'm glad you called that out. That's Microsoft's graph. That is the most ludicrous measurement of nothing I've ever seen.
So it's a line graph, which for some reason has concentric rings going from the middle to the end that have nothing to do with anything. And then the rings, some of them are labeled, not all. The inside ring, the 0-0 point on the axis is fans, early adopters, and then going outward, initial phase, and then full availability. And then there is a suspiciously erect line going from the 0-0 point on the axis, curving upward through full availability. The time frame, none exists. None's there. And in fact, the other label is labeled exactly the same as the x-axis is the same as the y-axis. Both represent the Windows 10 user base. So. Right. It's complete. Right. It's literally a meaningless graph.
I like that there's a phase before the initial phase.
Yeah, that's fans and early adopters.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, it could really. This could be a line chart. This really, if you drew a line along the bottom, it would say exactly the same thing. First, we'll do the early adopters, then the initial phase, then there'll be some blank stuff, then full availability. That's it. There's no time scale.
It's unbelievable.
Yep. I know. And we all used it, too, in our post. Because it's like, you need a piece of artwork for your post. Yeah. Okay, throw it on there.
Who designed this? Obviously, some humanities major. Jeez Louise.
Hey, don't make fun of us humanities majors.
I'm a humanities major, too. But I know enough to look at a graph that just says nothing.
I think the whole point is we don't know how many people have it. And that graph lends no insight into how many people have it.
I think that graph explains how many people have it. I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, it doesn't even give, I mean, there's no y-axis. So,
God, come on.
It doesn't, it's like that would not, y would normally be time, right?
Yeah.
Why it's curved? Why is that line curved? What does that even mean? It means nothing.
So if I could read into this, because I have to. Pretty. I believe it means that the deployment of the Fall Creators Update is going to accelerate.
Oh, it'll accelerate.
Time.
Okay. That's why there's a line there.
Yeah. But,
so you're assuming the y-axis is time. That's your mistake, Paul. It's the Windows 10.
Well, it has to mean something, Leo. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
I think it's actually they borrowed a diagram of the Hollywood Bowl seating chart, and they just put a line on it.
Put a line on it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe.
You know, you may have heard the phrase, you go to war with the army you have.
Yeah.
This is what we have.
Yeah. It's a pretty funny graph. But it's good enough. It'll do. All right. Do you want to do the mixed reality? Before you do mixed reality, you might want a little breather to clean the cat hair out. This might be an opportune moment for me to pause and mention.
I thought she went away. I was like, I got excited, and she's like literally sitting right behind me.
Aww.
Seriously. It's like a haunting in here today.
Time to mention our sponsor, the fine folks at Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device I use religiously on everything that pairs with your smartphone. And then helps you keep track of the things you lose. And we all, I mean, look, come on, don't pretend you don't lose things. Everybody loses things. Some of us lose things more readily than others. And the tracker is here to help. The tracker, you could attach it to your smartphone. You could attach it. Keys is like the big thing for me. Andy Anako put one on his bike because, of thieves. The way it works is really cool. So you pair it to your phone. You can pair up to 10 trackers, up to 10 different things to one phone. Oh, and you can pair any individual tracker to multiple phones. I like that feature. So, you know, it kind of has a family application. They have the anodized aluminum Tracker Bravo, but Tracker, you know, they've been out. Tracker came out 8 years ago, and they have really evolved and improved and innovated over those 8 years with this new one, the Tracker Pixel, which is really, really cool. It works much like the original Tracker and the Tracker Bravo. You pair it to your phone. It has two-way separation alerts. So when you leave your phone behind, your tracker will beep at you. That's why I keep it on the keychain, and vice versa. Let me go get my keychain. I'll show you the noises it makes. It's really cool. There's a button on the tracker. Yeah, I know that most phones now, certainly the iPhones, have a Find My Phone feature, but the button is so much easier than the Find My Phone feature. You push the button and the phone howls, even if it's turned off. And that's really, for most of the time, you know, did it slip down a crack? What did it do? Here, I'll make the sound for you. Let's see. Oh, let me open the tracker app. And I can make I'll make the keys beep, and then I'll make the tracker beep. So this is the keys. So if you lose your keys... Actually, it's kind of cool, too, because they light up really nicely so that you're not going to if it falls down a crack or something. It's kind of bright in here. You can't really see, but it makes it very easy to find the keys. All right, let's stop that. And then if you lose your phone, you press and your phone, notice it turned. I don't know if you saw that, but it turned the volume all the way up and then it returned it to normal. Wasn't that nice? So it's a good way to find your phone. But the tracker gets more exciting. You see there's a map. Okay, thank you. I found it. There's a map that shows where your phone was last seen. Now, this is the best part. Tracker, because there's 5 million plus out there, has the world's largest crowd GPS network. When somebody with a tracker app on their phone walks by your keys, because people do that. You know, you drop your – let's say you're on a run. You drop your keys. It, you know – when I find a pair of keys, I won't take them home. I'll put them nearby on a post or something so people can see them. But a lot of people, do-gooders, maybe they'll take it home. And then that means your keys could be anywhere. But this is the beauty part. See all those trackers all over the world, all lit up there like that? Anybody with a tracker app walks by your phone, you'll get a notification. I just saw your keys. I just saw your phone. I just saw your suitcase, your bicycle. It's here. That is great. For pets, too. They even have, they're small enough and light enough to put on a pet. And then the waterproof case, in case of inclement weather. Tracker has a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you don't have to take any chances. You can try it. You've probably seen them in stores, but if you go to the Tracker site, thetracker.com/windows, thetracker.com/windows, you'll save 20% off any order. That's a really good offer code. Share it with your friends. Tracker.com/windows. And that's even if you've already bought trackers before, if you want to stock up on the new tracker, they have a broad variety of trackers, the Tracker Pixel and Bravo. It's awesome. It's awesome. And you can get them customized with anodized aluminum. You can get engraved. Thetracker.com/windows. We thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Now, I've given you time to clean the cat hair.
It's never going to be clean. It's just, just a little tip for everybody. Don't ever buy a white desk.
Oh, yeah. You got the Acer version, right? Is that what you got? Or the Asus? Oh,
the mixed reality headset, yes.
So we have the same thing. It's comfortable. I like it.
Yeah.
It's easier to he's blowing the cat hair out. It's easier to set up because you don't have the external cameras, which I think is nice. That's one of the problems with the Vive and the Rift. There's a lot of calibration involved.
Yeah, having done the HoloLens a couple of times, which is I remember much better than any of the other VR stuff.
Have you tried the Vive or the Rift? I mean, do you have?
Yeah, I've tried both, but it's been a while, and I never had one here, so I just don't really remember it as much. But it's much easier. You know, remember with the HoloLens, Mary Jo, there was always like they had to measure your eye and then, you know, do the thing. And it was like this big process. And so they've really streamlined that kind of stuff down. The sensor thing is nice. That compares more to the the Vive or the Oculus Rift, obviously. It supports two different usage modes. You might have seen this, where if you're sitting behind a desk like this, you want to use it basically, you could sit or stand, but you're not going to move around. But if you have a big space, which I actually do, I haven't tested it this way, but I could just move over 10 feet and it's all this empty space right here.
You could actually specify
like a very big area and you can move around in it. Now, you want to be careful with that because you can't see anything right in the room.
Right.
So
right.
You want to be really careful.
But do they, so on the Vive, the Oculus really doesn't have much movement, but the Vive does. They have you map out a space and then you actually draw it around you. So and then it creates a virtual wall so that when you
almost like delineated by the sensors in
and
some
you'll
ways,
see
right?
in this you'll see in the headset, there's a don't go past that. Yeah, we've got one.
Yeah. So I've not tried that on this one yet. I suspect it works very similarly.
This is something else. Oh,
that's the Invoke Cam.
Oh, you know, so, or we'll talk about that later. Thank you.
The thing, there's a lot I do like about this within the context of its VR. You know, like when you have the motion controllers in front in your hands and you put them out in front of you, I'm kind of exaggerating it, but when you put them in front of you, you can see it in your view. You see your hand. Well, you don't see your hands, but you see the things where your hands are, and it actually really helps you find the buttons virtually, if that makes sense. If you look down at the controller and you're like, I'm trying to get my finger on that button.
The Vive and the Rift both do that,
It's really, good.
They're floating in space, so you can, it's right where you expect it to be,
Yeah, you don't have to guess where it might be. Like, you don't have to kind of, and there are games where you have to grab things, like that 3D shooter, which is called what?
What's the PC you're using with it?
This is a really serious computer, so it's a gaming PC with you know SLI graphics.
What's the minimum? Is it the same as the Rift? Is it?
I'm not sure what the Rift is, and I'm not actually sure what this is. But
is obviously way overpowered. But
way overpowered. I'm gonna test it with different devices. Like it should work fine on a Surface Book or even Surface Pro if you're updated with the latest drivers.
The video card, the minimum video card would be the.
I think the minimum actually, doesn't it work with it? I thought it did work with integrated graphics.
I'm going to look.
There is a link, windows.com/mixed reality, that gives you the specs that you need for using this.
Because there's two levels, right? There's the basic level and then there's the, you know, the higher end version. But yes, it does. Let's see. Yeah, no, it works with integrated graphics. Yeah.
Wow. So that's something I've not tried that. The Vive do not do.
The problem is with integrated graphics, you're probably going to get like 60 hertz,
right?
You know, not 90 or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it's. I think the big disappointment here is that
super hot is that game.
Super hot. So in super hot, you actually have to reach out into space to grab at things and then pick them up, and it feels very natural. Like where you reach out in real space, so to speak, and grab is where it should be, right? I mean, it kind of does a good job of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think where it falls apart is just, what's that?
Did you play Minecraft?
No. I've been thinking about Minecraft. Is that actually available in VR mode? Because I may never come home again.
It says it is on this.
Microsoft page. I was just thinking about that.
That would be fun. Although
I think so too.
Could make you a little queasy. I don't know. Did you get queasy at all with this?
But you know what? It was in a video.
Oh.
Not in a game.
Interesting. So the games did not.
Not yet. I mean, it probably will happen. Plus,
if you go to the very end of that page, there's a thing you can click on. It says, check if your PC's mixed reality compatible, and it must run a test.
Yeah,
or something.
You can download. There's an app in the store. In fact, I think it's half built into Windows. I think if you just type mixed into Windows, you should get a Windows mixed reality check or something like that.
Cool. All right. I'm, of course, on a machine that could easily handle it, but is running Linux. So
I think this one just came up. Mixed reality.
Part of the problem I have with this is it's the same price as an Oculus Rift, but it doesn't use Steam yet, which means you don't have the game varieties. They literally show four games. But you will.
Right.
You will.
There are more than 40 games. But Steam support's coming in December, I think.
So that would make this probably a decent choice compared to the Oculus. A lot easier to set up.
Yeah, I think what needs to happen is the price needs to come down more, frankly. I think it's unapproachable. And as easy as this is, remember, this is easy compared to Oculus Rift and HTC Vive. I mean, those are really hard things to set up.
Much more configuration involved.
Yeah, and I sort of feel like this is kind of a niche-y.
And you may, by the way, when you get Steam, you may experience that because Steam has a separate calibration that you have to run through.
Oh, do
they? Yeah.
Interesting.
So you may end up getting all of that fun. The thing that's, I think, unfortunate is the words mixed reality. This is a VR headset. This is not AR. This is not HoloLens. This is a VR headset. And it's exactly the same in basic functionality as a Rift or a Vive. It's not, not anything different. Yeah.
Well, except for that, you know, thing that Rift, that Oculus Rift and Vive will have, which is the on-helmet sensors or whatever you want to call them.
That's really nice because then setting up the cameras and having a place for them is a pain.
But my whole thing, the thing that is most disappointing to me in a way is just the visual quality, which is an issue with VR in general. It doesn't seem much better than a phone to me.
Well, you're next to the screen. I mean, these are 1440 screens, but you're right. Your eyes are inches away, so you're going to see all the pixels.
Yeah.
You have to get higher risk. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing.
It's particularly problematic with video. You know, you do an immersive video where maybe you're going down a river in Vietnam or something, and you can look all the way around, and it's astonishing on one level. But it's also like a YouTube video from 15 years ago on another level.
You're right. It's if you pressed your nose against your TV, it's like that. And until we get much higher res screens, 8K
plus
screens.
You know, you're strapping a what is essentially a ViewMaster onto your skull.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a, you know, again, it is better, easier, however you want to say it, simpler than what came before. No doubt about it. But it's still, you know, I mean, imagine if you could get those glasses and you could sit on a plane and, you know, the person in front of you has a seat back. I always use this example because I get screwed this way so many times. And, you know, you don't have to worry about it because
you'll
see
people do that with the Daydream and Gear VR.
You've actually seen people do that? That's amazing.
It's pretty weird. But
you know what they're doing.
You have
to
have a phone. You put a phone in there, and then you can.
Yeah, but that thing heats up. I mean, that's going to get really hot.
Probably wouldn't want to watch a whole movie.
I know, you probably could.
It's a little movie.
I was going to ask: is it how uncomfortable or comfortable is it? Because with HoloLens, when I've used it, especially if you wear glasses, it rests on your glasses and it makes it like ow after a little while.
Yeah, so I very specifically put contacts in before I wear it.
Yes, I do.
And again, it's relative. So in the context of HoloLens, in the context of the VR stuff I had done in the past, I find it to be fairly comfortable.
Yeah.
Compared to wearing sunglasses, it's incredibly uncomfortable. Right? It is big and heavy and bulky and all that stuff. But I don't know. Given what it is, given what they have to work with, so to speak, I mean, it's not horrible.
Right. Yeah, it's a start, right? It's version
it's
one.
Quite a qualifier.
It's version one.
I want to see higher res would help a lot.
Yeah.
Smaller headset would help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think they call it mixed reality?
Well, I think they're doing that for developers, and I think the fact that they're putting one over on consumers a little bit is just like the cherry on the pie or whatever.
To signify the future, right? I mean, at some point, it's going to be. It's not the present.
I think
the idea is someday you can mix holograms in with virtual reality, and you can, you know, have the unified experience. So I don't think they were trying to be deceptive. I think the idea was, you know what? We're not going to rename it again when you finally can do that. So we're going to give it an aspirational name, maybe. I don't know.
They couldn't have. So remember, it used to be Windows Holographic. That name makes no sense to this. And so the overreaching platform, you could say, goes from VR on the PC to augmented reality, which is holograms, you know, on top of reality. With the HoloLens, right? And so you have this kind of spectrum of things. I don't know. I'm not a developer. I mean, I've never looked at what it looks like to program to this API, but I don't know what it means to create an app that might run on both of these devices, right? Mm-hmm. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
I don't know because you see through into the world on HoloLens and you do not on this. And it's, to me, they're two very, well, I mean, they're related, obviously, but they're different technologies.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the other idea is you can write an app that works to both mixed reality headsets and HoloLens, right? I'm sure you have to tweak
that's
it, but
that's what I'm wondering.
That's the idea, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't. I'm wondering. The body of people out in the world who would literally spend a lot of time on this thing on an ongoing basis has to be really small, you know?
Yeah.
I think our industry is littered with incredible examples of things that were interesting for about 15 seconds and then gathered dust in our homes for the rest of eternity.
I've said that for a while now because I have used the Rift. I own the Rift and the Vive. And people get mad at me when I say that. Oh, Leo. Yeah. But honestly, I feel the same way. I think VR is, at least as it stands today, really a gimmick. No, but a few people, I guess, continue to play VR games, but I watch, you know, we've had that thing around the studio. My son has it now, Michael, and yeah, he'd rather play Cuphead, you know?
Yeah.
It's got a really cool, high cool factor, very high cool factor.
Yeah.
Which wears off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think AR will be different, I hope, I expect, but
yeah,
the form factor will have to be vastly changed.
When Microsoft first came out with the Surface Book, I basically described it as this thing exists so that Microsoft people can get up on a stage and have a computer that isn't a Mac, you know? And this thing almost exists so that people can walk by a Microsoft store and say, people in there doing this crazy stuff with the VR. And they're like, what's going on in there? And it's almost like for that reason, you know? I know it's not literally like that, but that's kind of how it feels. Like, I just don't, you know, Terry Myerson has said this repeatedly. This is the next wave of computing.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a little side thing. Like when you go down the highway and there's a rest area with a McDonald's in it, it's one of those things.
We had this 20 years ago. I played with this stuff at SIGGRAPH in 1991. So 26 years ago. The difference was it was hooked up to a massive $1 million Silicon Graphics computer. The experience was identical. It was very cool then. So now they've got it so it can hook up to your PC.
Sure.
The experience has not changed. It still has – I think part of the problem I have with it is it's not a comfortable experience. It's not comfortable wear the headset. It's a little nauseating.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not something you want to really spend a lot of time in. There are a small percentage of people who don't have any issues with it, and those people probably love it and wonder what we're talking about.
But yeah, those people probably like asparagus, too. Can we all agree they're a little weird?
I love asparagus.
Oh, you're the guy. So
That's a bad example.
It's a very bad example. But Brussels sprouts, maybe. But I do...
Beets. Can I get a beet in here somewhere?
No.
I like beets, too.
I do, too. Yeah. Come on, man.
What is wrong with you people?
I know. let me think. Part of this comes from, computer scientists are not immune to science fiction. And I think we all grew up reading science fiction where people were in virtual worlds, you know, Neal Stephenson,
Snow Crash,
Neuromancer, William Gibson.
And Ready Player One.
Ready Player One.
By the way, you know, there's a movie coming out, and I know you love this book. The audiobook is fantastic, Will Wheaton. The movie looks wrong to me.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, right?
I actually love the trailer, but again, it's not the world. This is not VR today.
No. No, because you're moving around in it. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you started moving around with this thing on, I'm a little nervous to even try it. I think you'd get queasy really fast.
Yeah, so maybe. I mean, people. So one of the things the industry says, No. That's a tracking and frame rate issue, and technology is going to fix that any minute. My experience has not been that's the case. There are others who say, no, the problem is the difference between your two different focal systems, the convergence of your eyes and the focal plane of the screen don't match. Your eyes converge at a greater distance. You're focused on a close-by screen, and your head says, I ate some bad mushrooms. I'm going to throw up now.
Yep.
And that's a biological phenomenon that is going to be very difficult to overcome. So That's as long as we're still using
Windows eyes. Mixed Reality 2.0.
So I'm of the opinion that technology is not going to solve this very soon. So I love the idea of an immersive world. I'd love to wander in the metaverse. But
yeah, so yeah. I think Mary Jo's on to something with the future and the combining of these things. I think that is a future. I think the ability for the real world to bleed through would actually really help with that problem that Leo is describing. And that...
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
If it was just something, if you just had the, you know, it was just a pane of plastic or glass, and it wasn't bulky and big and terrible, and you could see the outside world. If you could wear it out in the world, even if you looked a little ridiculous, wear it on a plane, or I could get up during a work call where I was on the call with the thing, and I could walk around my house and, you know, make a cup of coffee or whatever. I think that would do it. And those are the types of issues that get solved in computer science, right? Yeah. Miniaturization and so forth. So, I think they'll get it there. I just think right now it's like, you know, like, okay, it's VR.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so if you want it, I mean, this is, I would say it's a, once Steam is available, it'll be a reasonable competitor for the Oculus Rift anyway.
Yeah.
Oculus is way ahead, presumably, and you know, with Facebook's money, may have something better coming along soon, too. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's also, it's a crowded little market, you know? It's unclear that it can sustain all this stuff.
Crowded and little.
Yeah, it's not, right?
A lot of players, not many buyers. That's not a good combination. Yeah.
No, it's the exact opposite of what you're looking for, so...
Yeah.
But you have to show you're there. I feel like if you're a technology company,
especially if you're pushing HoloLens.
Yeah, I think you have to show.
Jeez, what was that?
Trying to throw Sirachi off the desk.
Literally a cat infested podcast.
Well, it'll be happening. You know, my cat is napping in the corner because she finally expended all of her energy crying and flying fur all over the place. Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. All right. Very good conversation. Thanks, gang. I think very, very interesting. I'm glad you tried it, Paul. I've tried it too, and
I'll keep going with it. You know, Minecraft. I'm very curious. I want to see the Steam stuff.
If people are interested in this stuff, start with Daydream or Gear.
Yes, exactly.
Use it with your phone because that's less. It's $100.
It's start with cardboard. Spend $20. Cardboard. It works with all the phones, basically. Yeah. All set. And by the way, it's a pretty good experience. It really is, and visually. I know it sounds terrible. It's not that far off. I mean, especially
screen.
For an immersive video.
You're using, I mean, if you're using a good quality phone, like a Note 8, that screen is...
I know, but it sounds ridiculous. You're describing like a thing that could literally be made of cardboard.
Yeah.
And then this $400, you know, mixed reality marvel of technology.
It requires a $2,000 PC.
Yes, exactly.
This requires a $1,000 phone, but still, you already have, you probably already have the phone, so...
Yep.
Or not necessarily a $1,000 phone. It works with cheaper phones. I don't even want to know. I'm not going to ask. We'll just, Paul, you and I will talk for a while.
Next week we'll get him.
I'm good. I've got him off.
What is your Halloween outfit going to be, Mary Jo?
She yanked the cat yanked the thing again, I think.
Oh, my God. She's frozen.
Her cat is a terrorist.
OMG.
I have an amazing photo of my wife holding her cat, Mary Jo's cat, and
he's a rescue cat, Sirachi. So
I think the cat might previously have lived with a ninja or some kind of an assassin of some kind.
Do we have any anti-Sirachi technology we could deploy, Leo?
I know, no kidding, man.
Brad works, but
Brad, how about Brad? Brad would
do. Work. All right. So, but you know, now that we have it on our Windows. And the vast and growing number of people are getting it. I'm sorry, I have that image in my mind. Where else are we getting the creator's update?
Here's where we haven't.
Yeah, the phone, right?
Yeah, phone. So Windows Phone doesn't have it yet. And the word is they're going to start rolling out to phone this week. But so far, it hasn't been seen.
Interesting.
Which is interesting.
By the way, not going to write about this, but one thing that Microsoft has done on the phone side is released an offline updater so that anyone who has a supported phone can actually get this update, right? This is during the entire lifetime of Windows Phone was maybe the single biggest problem after apps, I guess, that people couldn't get the updates. And they did all kinds of little workarounds. They had the Insider program, obviously, and so forth, ways to get this thing out to people. Now that it's over, they finally have a thing where you can just plug in your phone and get the update. So, you know, it's the little things.
I know. If like 14, there's about 14 handsets that are going to get the update, the final RTM 14, version of the update.
Out in the world.
Yeah. 14 models, I should say, not 14 individual handsets.
I can understand the confusion.
Just to be clear. Yeah. No Lumia 640 or 640 XL, which I guess surprised some people. But if you're in the Insider program, you can just keep running the Insider build till they stop supporting it. And I'm not sure exactly when that is. We don't even know if there's going to be Redstone 4 builds for Windows Mobile. We're thinking no.
So I bet they continue on this track.
You do?
I bet they just fixes and little things.
So they haven't got it yet. Another interesting tidbit from MS Power User, the HoloLens didn't get it and is not going to get Fall Creators Update at all.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. Yep. No reason given. I don't know why. Not sure.
So since all we can do is speculate, and you know we love to speculate, I will just suggest that given the kind of vertical market nature of HoloLens and some of the rather high profile installs of this thing, right? Ford, NASA, you know, places like that. Maybe updating this thing on a regular basis is not something those guys are looking to. You know, they want a stable platform maybe, and there's no big innovation coming for that particular device in this release for sure. Maybe it just doesn't make sense.
Or my other thought was, you know, there was supposed to be a HoloLens 2 out in 2017 that got canceled. Maybe there's something in the HoloLens that's not compatible with the Fall Creators Update.
Okay.
I don't know. Just we're guessing here, people. We're not saying we know it. they aren't getting it. But Windows Server did get what they call 1709. They don't call that the Fall Creators Update. But what was interesting from Windows Server is there are a couple things that are gone from Windows Server in the 1709 build. And one of those is Storage Spaces Direct, which is a storage clustering management technology that was actually in Windows Server 2016. Well, it's gone from build 1709. And you can't, even if you have it working in Server 2016, you can't join a group that's being managed by it if you're running 1709. It sounds like the reason it's gone is because, from what I'm hearing, didn't meet quality bar updates and it isn't canceled, Storage Spaces Direct, that it's going to be back at some point, but it just wasn't ready in time. You know, so for Server, it's a whole new ballgame doing these twice yearly updates. And I think they're going to have to get in the rhythm of that before, you know, they really figure out, okay, how do we make sure that features we supported in the last build are going to be either enhanced or good enough to make it into the next build that's coming out in 6 months. There's also no Windows Server Essentials release that's in 1709, but I don't think that means it's permanently canceled. I asked Microsoft, you know, what about Essentials? It's not in 1709. Standard and Data Center are there, but not Essentials. And they didn't ever come back to me and say what the future was of Essentials. They just didn't answer. So make of that what you will.
Well, I'd say Essentials is the least essential Windows Server version in this world. No, I mean, I don't mean that facetiously. I mean,
a lot of people do use it. SMBs.
But they should, but they're more inclined to be in the cloud, you know?
Yeah, this is kind of like the cloud, gateway to the cloud version, right? The Essentials version. So, so that was kind of interesting. I think, you know, for everybody getting on this twice yearly feature update train, it's not just users who are having, you know, trouble getting on that train. Sometimes it's Microsoft having trouble getting on the train.
Oh. Speaking of trains, I can look at this new build.
Yes.
Oh, you just got one.
Yeah, wow. One came out right before the show started.
Things are happening.
Well, this one has something fairly notable about it. In fact, I'm probably going to write this up. I just got to go research.
Is this Redstone 4.17.025?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you've been kind of following along with Windows since Windows 8, you know that they introduced something that was called PC Settings originally. Now it's just called Settings. And it's a new, like a modern app, a universal Windows platform app for managing the system settings. And they've been phasing out Control Panel. And of course, everyone's looking for that day when that's going to finally happen. Settings in Windows 10 today has a fairly simple UI, but if you compare it to, say, Windows 8, the original release, it's like Play School versus interior of a 747 cockpit. I mean, it's really matured a lot. There's a lot more options, but the UI itself never seemed that scalable to me. So in this build, where is it? Yeah, ease of access, it's not that good. So ease of access has kind of a further, more granular UI in one part of settings for ease of access. And so that navigation panel on the left just has groups in it now. So they're kind of making it more. They're not going to be happy until this thing is like an MMC console. You know, like they're eventually going to just throw so much stuff in it. It's just going to look like it always did. But it's interesting watching this evolve. And so that's part of what they did. It's okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of fixes too. This is Redstone 4 test build 17.025 for PCs only. And if you're in Fast Ring or Skip Ahead, you will get the same build. And it just came out right before the show.
Why do they still have Skip Ahead now? Shouldn't they just stop talking about that?
I think they can't get rid of that now, right? Like, that's just going to sit there, isn't it? Until Redstone 5. And then they, I don't know. I didn't know if they would ever totally get rid of it or if they ever said they would get rid of it.
I think they should just bounce people out of that. I don't get what the point is now.
Yeah.
There's nothing to Skip Ahead to.
Correct.
We should explain that Paul is having his house painted, and apparently he's having it done by flippers with seals with paintbrushes attached to their flippers. And that's what you're hearing. So,
sorry.
No, it sounds like someone's like scraping a blackboard or something.
Next week we're going to put on an addition to the house because it's not big
enough. Excellent.
It is huge. Yeah. That's big enough. Yeah. There's two of you.
I'm kidding. Okay.
And a bunch
like
of cats.
Like that movie where like people live in a mansion and they're both at other ends of like a 25-foot long table and you ask the other person
what
to pass
you really
the salt.
Want. Yeah. Darling. Yes, sweetheart.
And then it echoes down the room.
Pass the salt.
What's that?
I think he's going to start renting rooms, I heard, to Windows Weekly listeners, perhaps.
Oh, just you don't even have to pay. Just come on down.
To the Lehigh Valley.
It's like the Yale Club.
Yeah. No necktie required. Next time you're in the lower Mukunji Valley, you know where to go.
Clothes are the minimum. That's
all. Just wear clothes. Yeah. Just wear clothes. So here we are. I was just handed one of the brand new Harman Kardon Invoke.
Oh, you got
it. So you haven't even set it up.
No, it just literally came today.
Well, plug that sucker in and let's get it going.
You want to set it up?
Yeah, I think we should.
All right. I can do that.
I have mine nearby, so I hope this isn't going to set it off.
It is.
Well, so if you have headphones on, it won't, right? Because you'll hear it and it won't. Okay. But you can also control. You can.
That's true. I can lower the volumes.
It does have a brick. Mm-hmm. Just so you know,
it's a fairly short one too, so you're gonna have to kind of figure that out.
The Echo does not. Most of the Echoes I have do not have power bricks. They plug in.
Yeah, the cord is.
Mary Jo, when you were gone, we were kind of discussing the industrial design. To me, it's handsome and modern looking, but I agree that in a world where the Echo devices and the Google Home devices are getting, you know, sleeves that help you match the decor and whatever. Mm-hmm. This is a little less universal from a style perspective.
You know, I like this style way more. I don't like these fabric-covered speaker things. I don't like how
this is more masculine, but so it's
I like it more.
Yeah.
No, I like it too. I'm just saying I understand why someone would look at this and say, you know, it looks like a prop from a Star Wars movie or something.
Are there other colors?
One other color.
No. Oh, silver, right? Silver slash white.
Silver and it's like silver and dark
pearl?
Silver. I think are the two colors.
I think
colors.
It's called pearl.
It's very... yeah. What's the name of that designer? He's very stark.
Not it is.
Stark, just stark.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, I'm okay with it. Too. But, you know, again, we look, I mean, some of these things, granted, they don't sound as good, but you can get like an Echo Dot is like this big. It's tiny. It's a, right. It's a,
and same thing with the Google has a mini.
And Google has one, same size. It's kind of cute looking too. Yeah. You know, so you get this gigantic tower thing.
So it's, I plugged it in, it's now circling the drain, so to speak.
Yep. yep. I think we can both agree with that.
The short cord, though, it's a surprising hindrance.
Yeah,
that's,
it's only about 3 feet.
That thing is really short.
So that ring on the top is a volume control, and I don't know if you can do it now, but you can turn.
It made noise.
Well, no, turn the ring. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Just so you make sure you can hear it. Don't turn it up too loud. It's pretty serious.
Hi there. I'm Cortana. I'm here to help.
She's got a nice voice.
Yeah, it's really rich sounding and high quality.
Cortana app on your phone or PC. So go grab that first. Then type setup.
Well, you can do it right on the computer, Leo.
Oh, I can do it on the computer? Okay.
Yep.
Setup. Is that one word or two? My info.
Oh, did she actually tell you? So you can just do it. If you just open Cortana.
Yeah.
There's a little conical thing over on the left that looks like that speaker.
Oh, I see an Invoke.
Yep.
Is that on everybody's now?
Yeah.
Let's get started. Cortana device setup.
Ready for setup. We'll do this from the Cortana app on your phone or PC. So go grab that first.
Thank you.
Then type setup my Invoke.
I'm doing that right now. Okay. Set up my Invoke. It's downloading. And
she's very insistent.
boy, is that slow. I don't know why it's slow. Is the store slow? Because I have a gigabit. There we go. It took a while to get started.
I'm looking through my history of things I've said to the speaker, and the vast majority of them are mistakes.
Yeah. That's true of all of these, if you look. Okay.
This one of them says, speak, woman.
Okay, that is not polite.
I don't even know what it's from.
That is not polite. Okay, let's set up. I accept the end user list. Okay.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay, I did. I plugged in my Cortana. Okay.
Ready for setup. Okay. We'll do this from the Cortana app on your phone or PC. So go grab that first. Then type setup my Invoke.
Do you think those match?
Yes.
Yep.
I do.
Okay, I'm going to sign into my account.
How do you make the red ring one happen, though? I saw people with red rings on Cortana.
I think you do it with the mute button on the back.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, thinking. What is she going to do? How is it going to connect to her? Is it?
Well, it's connecting Cortana to your Microsoft account in the cloud, right? So.
Yeah, but I mean,
you're going to be on your Wi-Fi.
How do I know about this? Oh, okay. But we have many. Okay. Yes. Yes.
And by the way, it's longer than that. Yeah, I was going to say if you scroll down,
there's a lot more. Going. But who reads those, right? Yeah.
And this is a personal assistant. No, but I mean, you've got a lot of
stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree. Your information from other Microsoft services, Outlook and Skype, voice activity records voice. Yes, of course. Device information, other services. Share your request and zip code based location with third party. Wait a minute. What? With third-party services that partner with Microsoft. Yeah, what the hell? What could possibly go wrong?
Sure. Yeah, Spotify needs to know where you live, Leo.
Yeah. Well, what that sounds like, though, it could be like they could be telling my local tire store, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Confirm where you keep your Invoke so you can get directions, weather, and more. That's close enough. Yeah. All right. So location services identified our location. Looking for devices. Now, how's that looking? It found it. Is that Bluetooth? Is that audio? What is going on
there? I believe it's Bluetooth.
I think it's Bluetooth, too. Because you haven't connected to the Wi-Fi yet. Or have you?
Well, we have many. But
it should do that for you, I would imagine.
Now you can finish getting everything set up in your Cortana app.
Lights, take two. When the lights on your Invoke match below. This is much more complicated, by the way, than setting up.
That's interesting.
Yeah, this thing is weird. This light's got to match
the pulsating light.
I don't know. I kind of like that it stepped me through, though, and I felt like something was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. You know what? I think this onboarding is probably not more complicated.
Oh, I guess you enter your password. Never mind.
Yeah.
Hold is on. That your Wi-Fi password?
Yeah. Let me.
You actually have to type it in. That's funny.
Yeah.
There's a feature you can configure for the speaker that you might want to configure where it makes an audible sound when it understands you.
Yes, and that's I do that.
Which it's off by default. I actually think that's kind of useful.
So Echo's the same. Well, actually, Echo, when it hears you, I don't know if about when it understands you. Okay, now I've got a... So now it's connecting to our Wi-Fi, or trying to.
Now it's going to download a firmware update. Now you're going to...
So there's a red on light LED at the bottom.
You're all set. Whenever you're ready, say, "Hey, Cortana," and tell me what you'd like me to do.
Oh, it's updating first. There's the red ring.
There's the, and that's the mute button. Is that right?
Well, it's this is do not unplug your Invoke. It's updating. It says it's updating. It's firmware.
Okay. Oh, okay. So. Oh, there is a I was joking about the firmware update.
And then it's like, wait, it is.
Nothing. It's like I'm in an empty room again. Hello.
Oh, and I guess I can go to next while it's doing this.
Okay. Power out? What's
pick a preferred music provider. I'm going to pick TuneIn. You can only pick one? That's weird. So you have.
Can you only pick?
It says.
I thought it backed up to a second.
iHeartRadio, Spotify. Yeah, I don't have a premium subscription, so I'll do iHeart and TuneIn. Yeah, okay. So it's iHeartRadio, Spotify, and TuneIn.
Premium, though. Yeah, like you said.
Right.
It has to be premium.
Yep.
I don't understand why it keeps putting me back on this screen. Do you?
Call Leo's Cortana.
My Cortana.
I said hi.
It's not yet. okay. Should I connect the calendar? Yes. It's already connected. Okay, good.
That's the best feature, I think.
Yeah, because you can say, you know, set an appointment or, here's a video.
I think hands-free calling is, like, kind of the killer app of these things.
Yeah.
You put it in the kitchen, you say, hey, you know,
the smallest video window I've ever seen. Seriously. Why is that?
It's a good use of space.
Oh, I can make it bigger. There we go. Hi, I'm Oscar. Okay. Then ask a question or say what you need.
Hey, Cortana. Play some music.
Okay. All right. So, the red ring is telling me something.
It's muted.
Yeah. Oh.
Congratulations.
Oh, geez.
You found the secret button. Tap again, and I'll tell you a fact or a joke or a tip or, I don't know, something else.
Okay. I found the secret button.
So, actually, Leo, on the back of the device near the base, there's a mute button. I think if you press that, it's going to go blue. Yeah.
Okay.
Or it'll be fine. Yeah, I think it's, I think now it's working.
So now
hummingbirds are the only birds that can fly backwards.
So should I try?
Yeah.
What time is it?
It's 12:22 p.m.
Good. Call my friend Paul Thurrott.
I'm sorry. I couldn't find Paul Thurrott in your contacts.
Because he's never...
That's funny.
Phone to the Cortana app.
Because he's never given me his phone number, probably.
Yeah, and I never will
be. No one knows his phone number.
Everybody knows his phone number. So I can't call your Cortana?
You can enter a number, like you could say call, 646.
Let me play some music. You could, but we can't do it now because I'm using Skype. So would call me over Skype.
Yeah. Play some music. Let's hear what the speaker sounds like anyway.
I'm on it. Tuning in to Anywhere Radio on TuneIn.
I wonder how they choose what to do, because you haven't configured a service.
Great.
Listen to Twit Live.
Wow.
I'm on it. And now,
this is going to be like Spaceballs. When will then be now?
Radio Leo on TuneIn.
Something kind of creepy. Somebody is building a bot army using routers. It's already 2 million.
So it's not actually doing what I would have expected, but it's playing for some reason. This is interesting from a feed that we call Radio Leo because it's just the shows I'm on. That's interesting. I don't know why I would pick that. I did say Twit, didn't I? No. Right. Let's listen to Windows Weekly.
I'm on it.
I like the I'm on it.
Here's the latest episode from the podcast, Windows Weekly, on TuneIn.
Mary Jo Foley, so you're doing everything to TuneIn.
Yeah, because I picked TuneIn as my source. But they
couldn't talk you did. I'm sorry.
Yeah, which is what you... New hardware. It's what you would want to do, I think, if you want to hear us. Send us your stop. Send us your stop. This is normal. All assistants are like that. So the sound quality is pretty good.
It is. It is good.
Maybe marginally better than this comparable cylindrical Echo, but maybe not as good as the Show, which is the video one.
It's a lot better than the Google Home, whatever that's
worth. Is it better than the Google Home? You think it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, definitely. It might just be like a bass thing, but I there's something about it. It feels fuller and richer to me.
Harman Kardon is, after all, a speaker company, so you can kind of expect that.
Mm-hmm. I actually looked into their smart speakers because of this. I was kind of curious. I hadn't looked at anything this company has done in a long time.
Does this do anything, like any unique features, or is it just a Cortana version of Echo?
Yep. it's honestly, from a skills perspective, it's kind of lacking compared to Alexa. It's kind of lacking compared to Assistant, right?
But people will be familiar with that if they've used Cortana on their computer or phone.
Yeah, it hits all the basics. It does all the smart home stuff. It's just not super sophisticated. Like, I've created groups for my Philips Hue smart lights. It won't do groups. It only does individual lights, that kind of thing.
It also doesn't recognize unique voices, right? Which is a problem.
No. Okay. That's nothing new, though, in the Echo. They only started doing that relatively.
Yeah.
That's going to be coming. It has to be.
I know. But as somebody, maybe it was you, Paul. I can't remember who said this, but somebody could walk into your office right now and ask about your calendar and change
and get that information.
Yeah, make a reminder.
That's been a problem with the Echo for a long time. They just fixed it.
It's concerning.
from a unique perspective, obviously, it integrates with the Microsoft ecosystem. So that means Office 365, Skype, and Outlook.com. And on the Office 365 Outlook.com front right now, it's calendar stuff. You can make new events, appointments, meetings, and so forth. You can't cancel them by voice, which is a little goofy, but you can make them. You can make lists and reminders and do all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You can make calls on Skype, which actually, you know, for guys like us, I mean, we use Skype. That's actually legit useful. And sometime in the near future, they're going to add email capabilities. And I'm not sure what form that's going to take, but supposedly it will read email to you, let you reply, do that kind of thing. Much probably like voice-based texting, I would imagine.
Yeah,
that's about it.
The settings? Yeah, the settings come from on your start menu where you have the Cortana stuff.
Well, remember that it's globally, right? So if you configure your settings on the PC for Cortana, what you're really doing is setting your Cortana settings, and that's going to be true no matter where Cortana is on your phone.
Settings are the same everywhere.
It's not specific to the PC. These are settings for Cortana.
So that's interesting, because with an Echo, you can have Echo specific. There are some Echo specific settings.
Yeah.
So talk to the Cortana. Hey,
look, the list of stuff it doesn't do is pretty long. You can't create stereo pairs. It doesn't do Whole House Audio. I don't know. It's so typical for Microsoft in a way, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. It hits the high points, and I think for people in that community who want something like this, it's not a bad first step. And the nice thing about this kind of device is that you don't need firmware updates to improve it. Those improvements are going to come mostly through the cloud. They can improve the Cortana service pretty easily. So, you know, we'll see. I think it's pretty good. I'm surprised.
Mary Jo, did you use Cortana on your phone or your computer before? I mean, do you like it?
So I almost never used it by voice. You know, I used it as a search box.
Yeah.
But so for me, it was really weird because I hadn't set up almost any notebooks or anything. So I was like, oh, I have nothing like that this is drawing on at all. And it was so weird to me to start using my voice that way. I'm just not used to it, you know. But the one thing I did use it for a couple times, and I'm like, okay, this is one thing that might make me want one, is when I was cooking, because I had it set up right near my kitchen and I needed to convert something. I was like, oh, how many ounces is in, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I could just ask, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of handy.
You can use it as a timer. Can you use it as a timer?
Yeah. I did. Yeah. I used it as a timer.
I use our Echo. Set a timer for chopped liver for 2 minutes.
I'm starting your timer for 2 minutes.
Does it do named timers?
Oh, I don't know.
How many minutes are left in my timer?
You've got 1 minute and 52 seconds to go on your timer.
Set another timer for 7 minutes.
there's already a timer going.
Only one timer.
Only one. Yeah,
that's not good. No.
Yeah.
So the Echo will do many timers. So will the Google. Yeah.
And they'll and they're named, I guess.
Did you want to restart the timer?
No. No, witch woman.
It's still going.
Thank you. I know you can do that. Stop it.
For example.
No, God.
Yeah.
Remind me to take my medicine in 15 minutes.
Okay. Good luck.
So she's being a little helpful now.
Helpful.
Yeah, very.
I don't want her to be helpful.
Okay, but awesome. I have to ask you guys. Okay, Mike, the thing that weirded me out the most the first day I set up the speaker, I went out, I came home, and you know Cortana can just like give you random facts sometimes, right? So I came home and I said something like, all right, and it said to me, meow. Whoops. It's setting off.
I think your cat got into it.
Because I'm like, why did it even just say meow?
I think Sriracha is.
It didn't say meow.
It did say meow. It said meow. And I was, I was like, wait, is it listening when I'm not here and the cat has like been meowing?
Meow for me.
Sorry, I'm not able to help with this one yet.
You see, I don't think it meowed.
It did.
Beatbox.
No, I can't.
Yeah, seriously, let's debase technology. Like, just mock yourself, Cortana, while I sit back and enjoy it.
Hey, Echo. Echo. Beatbox. Beatbox.
That's amazing.
Oh, now that's the timer. I get it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I thought it was beatboxing still. I was doing a little Tinkerbell beatbox. Okay. So I think in the beatbox battle, Echo wins.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, you know what I wonder? A couple things. Will anybody else make a Cortana-powered speaker?
I think that's the last one.
And
I'm sorry. I can't help with that now, but I'm learning.
How did mine just do that?
When you wake up and it says, Mary Jo.
I know.
You will know.
The meow thing, you guys, it was super weird, and I have no idea how it happened, and I was freaked out. I was.
Can it tweet?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I just unplugged it because I
get like a bird. Can it send a Twitter?
Oh.
Can it move?
Can it move like a cow?
Can it Facebook? Can it do? Because it. So calendars is good. I mean, I like the calendar thing. Yeah. That's useful.
You know what? There are not a lot of skills. And this is a problem with Cortana in general. There are very few skills so far. And developers are making more of them, but they're way, way, way behind on skills.
Yep.
And is this, I forgot, did Harman Kardon say, oh, yeah, we're going to make it work with Echo and Google too? Or is this only going to be Cortana?
They haven't. In fact, this company has, or maybe it was the parent company, but... between itself and maybe the parent company, they actually have at least one speaker for each of the environments. But
right.
We know that Microsoft and Amazon are working to integrate Cortana and Scala. So, you know, at some point that should be coming to the Invoke, I would imagine. My cat has woken up. I'm really excited about that.
Yay.
Isn't the parent, geez. I want to say the parent company is Samsung. Samsung, yeah.
By Samsung. Yep.
So they make everything.
Yep. Actually, there's three layers to this because Harman Kardon owns another speaker company that's kind of a more consumer level, whatever it is, JBL or something like that. I can't remember. And then Harman Kardon itself is owned by Samsung.
Right.
And between the three of them, they each have one speaker that supports a different
right. They own, assistant. Harman owns JBL AKG.
Okay.
Infinity, Lexicon, they own quite a few.
It must be JBL. That sounds right. And then Samsung, of course, makes their own digital assistant, and they don't have a speaker for that one yet. Although, based on their recent announcement, that could be coming soon too. Yeah,
there are a lot of subsidiaries to Harman Kardon.
Yeah,
but that's been a shakeout. Like, that's like a shakeout in the speaker industry. It's just what's happened.
Yeah. Totally.
I like JBL. I don't know. Just JBL. Hmm. Yeah.
That's part of, that is part of Harman Kardon still or not?
Yeah. No, they own it.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Digitech Mark Levinson, they own Revel, which is a very high end speaker.
Mm. Seriously.
I think the sound quality on this was really good. It's got the 360 surround thing, so you can get sound from all sides. I like the sound. I mean, I just don't know. Would I use this enough to pay $200? Okay. Probably not.
$200, $199?
$200.
Yeah. Yep. It's too expensive. Yeah.
It's a non-starter. If I mean, really seriously, if you're in a market where the leader is Echo with 18 yeah. different form factors.
I know.
And then you say, well, I want something different. You go with Google. Sure. And then if you really are an iconoclast, you go with Apple. No one's going to buy this. This is like, who's going to buy that? Somebody's like so invested in the Windows ecosystem, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. That's who.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, that was fun to play with it. Thank you for helping me set it up. Yeah.
Now my cat is petting herself on the microphone stand, which is shaking the microphone.
She's at least not malicious like Sirachi, who is.
I know. No, she just needs attention. Yeah. She needs to be reassured.
Hopefully, cat, she doesn't watch the show. She'll get lessons.
If you don't calm down, we're moving again. So
yeah, it's interesting to me, and I guess this will be the measure of how well this sells. If you hear a hue and cry over the privacy policy, you won't, because no one's going to see it, because nobody's going to buy it.
Aren't all of them though similar in how many exceptions they ask you to make?
You're sharing with Google. Yeah. You're sharing with Amazon. Imagine. Right?
They're all like that.
But remember, it's a personal assistant. It's a conversation we had a few years back.
It's the third party clause that we read that bothers me. Oh, I see. Yeah. We will share whatever we learn about you with third party partners. Mm-hmm. That could be advertisers. That could be who knows what.
Sure.
I'd like to know more about that one.
Yeah.
Well, Leo, all you have to do is contact the Dutch authorities and they will get right on it.
Yeah, we're right on it. By the way, this Cortana has been updated on iOS and Android as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, it's really nice looking now. I've been experimenting with that for the past week, using it as my digital assistant on Android, because that's actually one of those cool things you can do on Android. It's nice.
Won't it be funny when...
God, seriously.
50 years from now, Cortana and Siri get together and divide the world up.
Exactly.
Like Spain and Portugal in the 15th century. They're just going, you know, why don't you take the Western Hemisphere?
Yeah.
They all start talking amongst themselves.
Right? I'm still talking. It's because I said something about Android, it's describing to me what an Android is.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. Wow.
You know, the reason I want it is because I want to confuse the NSA, because they're going to get so many signals from all my devices. Did you see there was a great movie based on a novel called The Anderson Tapes? Sean Connery was in it. And it's about a bunch of very well-organized bad guys who rob an entire apartment building, very high-end New York City apartment building. They get every floor, every apartment. And it turns out every agency, every law enforcement agency was bugging some or all of that apartment building. So at the end of the movie, Sean Connery gets away with it. And they show all of the tapes being erased because nobody wants anybody to know that they were bugging every bit of this building. It's actually a wonderful movie. I don't know whatever happened to it. It's really fun. The Anderson Tapes. All right. Let's take a break. And I know you've been waiting for it. I know Mary Jo has the Xbox Roundup.
I have a thing to say on this segment, so I'm excited.
And I just want to point out for the record, she's the one that added every single one of those Xbox stories to the notes.
No kidding.
All right, gong myself. Boom.
Yeah, we haven't had to have gongs yet.
Not yet.
Should I ask Paul about the Pixel 2 XL later as well?
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
How do you feel about the word angst?
Oh, boy.
Our show today, this is a new sponsor I want to welcome. I'm not new to me because I've used them. Gosh, when did I start using Text Expander on the Mac? Many, many moons ago. And it's such a must-have utility. I install it the minute I get a new system. I'm really pleased that Text Expander is now moving to Windows 2 from Smile Software, because this was the one thing I kind of missed when I went to Windows. I use Auto Hotkey and other things, but nothing is quite as good as Text Expander. It lets you instantly insert snippets of text from a repository of all sorts of stuff. I have email boilerplate. Now they have, by the way, a team solution for businesses. We have that. So we have standard TWIT responses. I type ADDY and I'll get my mailing address. I'll type WADDY, I'll get my work address. And it just, and you can set it up so it expands the minute you hit the space or that you type the abbreviation. I use it in so many different contexts. I used it a lot when I did answer email. I would use it to answer my email because a lot of emails boilerplate. That was really a great way to do that. But even simple things like typing your name or your signature, you can have, you know, if I hit LL, actually I think it's LLL because I don't want LL to be replaced, but if I type three L's, boom, text expander powers it right through. It is fabulous. There's also a really good, I think Adam Engst at Tedbits did it originally, spell checker that corrects receive. If you type I before E, except after C, if you get that wrong all the time, which apparently the English language also does, it will correct it automatically. Ridiculous. For some reason, I always spell with an R-E. It fixes it every time for me. It brings order to your meeting notes because you can have a fillable template. And it does allow you to pause and fill in stuff. It's really – the more you use Text Expander, the more sophisticated it can get for you. You write for reference letters. One of the things we always are doing is writing reference letters. You write it once. You invoke it anytime you need it. It's great as a team solution because our collective knowledge is in there. We have a standard one. If people say, what do you use? What microphone do you use? It's part of our corporate template. You know, John just types PPR 40 and boom, it goes right in there, fills it all in. You type it once and never again. I love sharing snippet groups. It's really a force multiplier here. You can have a marketing message in your email sig and have it maintained and updated by your marketing team. You don't have to change it. They change it, and it changes every time you write it. On average, and Text Expander will tell you this, your statistics, it'll save you 2 to 4 hours a month. If you really get into it, and I hope you will, you're going to save twice as much. If you get a Text Expander subscription, I'm really pleased. This is the newest thing. You'll get it not only for your Mac, your iPad, your iPhone. You'll also get it for Windows, which is fantastic. Go to textexpander.com. Let me go there because I haven't done that yet on this machine. Textexpander.com/Windows. And you can try it free for 30 days. But I got to warn you, once you try it, it's totally addictive, and you'll never want to do it without it again. It must be 10 years at least, I've installed it on every single Mac I set up, and I'm now doing it on every single Windows machine I set up, and it makes me so happy. One subscription for all the platforms, and of course, they have public groups like that Tidbits spelling checker that's readily made for you to use. You just turn it on. TextExpander.com/Windows. We welcome them to Windows Weekly. And I strongly urge you to try this because it is one of those utilities that once you try it, you'll say, how did I live without this? It saves me so much time. TextExpander.com/Windows. All right, get ready. It's the exciting Xbox segment.
Joe, take it away.
Mary Jo, I thought I'd never say that.
What level on Cuphead are you on now?
Are you playing Cuphead? You oughta.
No.
So much fun.
I am not.
Make your cat play it.
Yeah, yeah, your cat definitely needs something to do.
He does. He definitely does. No, so I'm going to introduce this segment, and then I have one little piece of it. But the global launch of Xbox One X is happening November 7th. And they're doing a big thing in the Microsoft New York store with Major
Which
Nelson.
Is really close to where Mary Jo lives, so naturally you will be going.
You know, I have a previous engagement that evening.
And maybe you can explain for the audience what that previous engagement is.
I actually really do have a previous engagement. it happens to be at Rattle and Hum, but this is going to be our second annual regulars tap takeover at Rattle. So everybody who's among the favorite regulars gets to pick a beer that's going to be on tap that night. And then your name goes up on the board. You're famous for like 15 seconds. So I am sorry, I can't make it to the Xbox One X launch.
I kind of feel like you could do both. You know,
I think
it's like midnight. I mean,
you know, there's a lot of beer to be consumed. Someone has to do it.
I think going to the Microsoft store drunk is a nearly ideal situation.
Especially for gaming lunch. Yeah. Yep. But Paul may go. Are you going to go?
I don't know yet.
Is there one in your town? Emmis? The Emmis Xbox X lunch?
I don't even know where the closest Microsoft store is to here. Let's look.
I think you better get on that.
It used to be so, yeah. Microsoft store. I bet it's not very close. It's going to be in.
But what actually happens on the 7th? Okay, that's the day these consoles go on sale, right? But you, people have pre-ordered them, so they don't have to go to the store and line up, right? Or do they?
If you pre-ordered it, you one of the things you could have done is pre-ordered it to get it in the store. So you could do that.
Yeah. You could go pick it up in the store.
Yeah, because I think otherwise what would happen is you would get it the next day, right? Because if they let you get it at midnight. And by the way, if you're on the West Coast, it's even better because they're doing it midnight ET. So you can get it at 9 p.m. the night before, you know, so that makes a lot of sense. You pre-order it and then go pick it up.
Yeah. Why would people
have ordered it on Amazon? You already have one. I know you do.
Yeah, we know he does. He won't admit it.
Exactly.
He'll be able to admit it in a couple of days, I'm sure.
Let's put it this way. Sometime in the near future, I will be able to post photos of a thing that I may or may not have.
Yeah, that's fair.
And when that day comes, I will probably post those photos.
I ordered it ages ago. Let me just check and see where it stands at Amazon. Because I ordered it from Amazon. Well, I don't understand why somebody wouldn't do that.
Right? Actually, you just reminded me. I pre-ordered one, too.
Oh, you're going to have
ones. Obviously.
That's fine. Wait a minute. It doesn't say it. Maybe I didn't pre-order it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, this will be
sad. I want to look at that.
This will be sad if I forgot. I thought I did, though. How do I find out?
Can't you look at your orders?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just search your orders.
How do these computers work now? So you tell me if I go to my orders.
What we need is a worldwide service that will answer any question.
I'm going to.
Can't you ask your friend Alexa, perhaps?
What would it be? It's the One X? Is that what?
Xbox One X.
Okay, so that's what it would say.
Yep.
I'm going to look through my emails.
Also known as Scorpio, which is fitting since it's launching during
the
time.
At the Microsoft store in Boston.
I think I might have forgotten to order it. I thought for sure I did. Am I going to still be able to get it day of?
Yeah, you are right.
I bet so. Yeah, I think so.
You're not playing Cuphead right now, Paul, are you? Because your bandwidth just died.
No, I'm looking because I did, in fact, pre-order one of these, but I didn't find it on Amazon either, and that's making me wonder.
Oh, yeah. See? Yeah. I'm sure I ordered it because I remember thinking
I would have ordered November it on Amazon. 7th. Now I'm confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Amazon hiding it from us, maybe?
That doesn't make much sense, does it? I that's an interesting question.
I searched for, let's see, let's search past all of 2017.
Oh,
Xbox
man.
Xbox
One. It's weird.
X, right? S or X?
X.
X.
No.
X.
Oh, now I'm really getting sad.
Crimson Skies, Ghostbusters, Superhot, Paint.net, Cuphead. Where's Cuphead in there? Oh. Microsoft account credit. Call of Duty. I don't see it in Microsoft either.
That's strange.
Well, I'm going to get a spurious charge on my credit card in about a week, and we're going to be wondering where the heck that came from.
So, okay, that's interesting. So you did the same thing.
Yep.
Do we call this the 1X or the 110? Or the one after 909?
The one X.
Okay, just asking. This is why Apple should not have named their phone the X.
Yeah.
Everyone calls it X.
Did you see? We'll go back to the Xbox in a second, but we got to talk about these phones. Because now Microsoft has apparently leaked to CNBC. Yeah, this morning. That Face ID thing, it's still really good. It's still better than Touch ID, but it's not as good as it was.
Oh, you mean Apple.
What did I say? Microsoft? Apple.
Yeah, you said Microsoft. I'm like,
No, you would know that, of course. Yes. No, I'm sorry. Apple.
And so Apple has since come out publicly and said that this is not the case, but obviously they would say that.
Right.
Bloomberg is not known for publishing serious rumors.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I read that story. They made a pretty good case for it, I thought.
It's Alex Webb and Sam Kim writing in Bloomberg. The company lets suppliers reduce accuracy of the phone's Face ID to speed up production. And Bloomberg's pretty credible when it comes to this.
They are.
This plays on our preconceived notions, though, right? Because anyone who has used Face ID on any phone knows that it's pretty terrible. And the worry here is that because this is the only way to unlock your phone without, you know, typing in a PIN or whatever, that this experience can be kind of compromised on a device that frankly should be a high-end, premium, awesome experience. And so I think a lot of us, you know, because Apple has beaten the odds before, you know, it's kind of a wait and see thing. Like, you know, this has never been done properly, but if anyone can do it properly, it's probably going to be Apple. Let's see what happens, you know. But then you read that and you're like, I knew it. It's not going to work. I don't know. So we'll see. We're going to find out soon, right? The reviews must be going
pretty soon.
Out as soon as this week, I would think, right?
Yeah. Well, the order is Friday at 12:01 a.m.
Yep.
And November 3rd, if you're successful at ordering.
Which is what, the following Friday?
The following whatever.
Friday.
Friday, I think. So,
yeah.
Friday. We could see the first reviews of the iPhone X as soon as this week, I would think. Maybe Thursday?
So Apple told TechCrunch, you're right. Apple said completely false.
But Apple says a lot of things that are complete baloney. I think we can all agree to that. Yeah. So,
customer excitement for iPhone X and Face ID has been incredible, and we can't wait for customers to get their hands on it starting Friday, November 3rd. Face ID is a powerful and secure authentication system that's incredibly easy and intuitive to use. The quality and accuracy of Face ID haven't changed. Haven't changed from when. It continues to be a 1 in a million probability of a random person unlocking your phone with Face ID. That's not really the issue. I'm glad it's a 1 in a million, but how well does it work? That's the issue, right? It's not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're going to find out. We can't. Nothing here solves this problem. We have to see what really happens. When Apple announced the iPad, based on my years of experience with tablet PC, I thought this thing was going to be a joke and it's going to fail.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So we can only go off of our experiences. My experiences with this technology are terrible. I don't think it's going to work. That said, Apple has a history of, you know, not doing it unless it's right. And so you got to give them that attempt.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see.
Now, they acquired PrimeSense, which was the Israeli company that developed Kinect.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft's killing Kinect.
Coincidental? I think not.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
We won't know. But it is interesting, and it ties into your complaints about the Pixel 2 XL. These two flagship phones may be a little troubled. It may be hard to do what these guys want to do to innovate.
Yeah, sure. Right. I mean, the Pixel, at least the fingerprint ID thing is going to work fine. It's on the back, which I like. We know the pictures it takes are going to be great. Whether they will look great on the phone is an open question. I'm certainly getting a lot of angst about that. I have a $1,000 pre-order hanging in limbo right now I want to be on Project Fi, and I...
I went to the Verizon store.
So you've seen one.
Oh, yeah. And the screen's fine. I mean, people have very finicky, any slight, it's like,
well, let me tell you
people
something.
Always
Seriously.
Complain about the screen bleed on LCDs, and I see it. It doesn't bother me. Of course, there's a little bit, but it's not a big
deal. That one I agree with, right? So I'm curious. But this is
a bad order, I think.
This is $1,000.
Well, what do you want? Perfect?
A little bit, yeah.
We'll see. Okay. The thing that worries me a little bit more, and I think that this, judging from how widespread the complaints have been, is the burn-in.
Right.
We've seen a number of images of Pixel 2 XL screens. They're using the LG, same screen as on the V30, with burned-in home reset and back buttons.
Yep.
And if that's the case, that's a big deal. That is not something people will be able to ignore.
We're going to find out they're using plasma technology.
Well, if they're getting burn-in after a week.
I know. That's incredible.
Not good. That's not good.
I know.
It's bad.
So I'll be, but Paul, we have to buy these anyway, right? Don't we? I do.
That's what wrestling lets me with off this one.
I don't have to wrestle because I have to.
Yeah.
You can return them in 30 days, can't you?
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks, okay.
Apple 2 weeks, I think. I don't know what Google's policy is.
Well, I tell you, I pre-ordered the Pixel. I feel like I have to get it. The iPhone 10, absolutely wait and see on this one. I there's no way I trust. I just have too much experience with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
The other little issue, like the notch thing, I think is kind of terrible, but it wouldn't prevent me from buying it. The Face ID thing, really, that's a stumbling block for me.
Yeah.
We'll see.
How far did we get into the Xbox thing? I forgot.
We got partway through. So, okay, global launch is happening. Yeah. Original Xbox games now available on Xbox One.
That's so great. I'm really happy about that.
It's pretty cool. It's amazing how old fashioned these games seem. I've only played the one.
But to play Stranger's Wrath again, which is a great
Crimson Skies, Fusion Frenzy,
great game.
It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. There are no Xbox achievements. Multiplayer doesn't work, which is actually a serious downside. I'm kind of surprised they didn't figure that one out. But I guess it's because it is literally the original games. They didn't go in and change the games. So those games rely on servers that don't exist anymore. Like they literally were taken offline probably 10 years ago. They're gone. So, but yeah, the games are there. That's interesting. We kind of talked around that Microsoft killed the Kinect.
So I want to say a little more on that too.
Okay.
Right. So this was interesting how Microsoft disclosed this. So they gave a story to Fast Code Design. And they gave them the story and said, by the way, we've stopped manufacturing the Xbox Kinect sensors. Yep. They already had stopped manufacturing the ones for PCs in 2015, but they were still making Xbox ones, I guess. I didn't realize they were. But they're no longer making them. They're just going to let retailers sell out. And like Paul said, the timing on this is interesting, right? So you have to think, why did Microsoft want this to come out now? So the total conspiratorial me says what Leo just brought up, which is the technology, the PrimeSense technology is what's in the iPhone X and also in the Xbox sensor. So if you're really Machiavellian and you think Microsoft is too, then you think, hey, why don't we disparage this by saying, and we killed it because it's done and it didn't really work out that well. And, you know,
I have a slightly bigger problem than that because I think that's awesome. I hope that's what they did. I don't know the person who wrote that article. It is the most, it's the opposite of a hit job. It is like Microsoft specifically went out and found someone who really thought Kinect was awesome. And he wrote this thing about Kinect, which is complete baloney. Like, this thing never worked well. It's terrible. And this thing is like the most astonishing pro-Kinect story that's like just refuted by life. Like, it's just, it's crazy. And I've tried really hard not to write an article just dumping on it because I don't, it's right. too much like a personal attack, and I don't mean it that way,
it's
just awful.
Behind the scenes, like insider baseball stuff, the way you get to write some of these kinds of articles is you kind of buy into a premise that you're presented with, right? The thing was, hey, we're going to give you Alex Kipman. He wants to talk about how the Kinect was the precursor to the HoloLens. If you agree to write this kind of a story, you know, we'll...
You get to talk.
We'll give you everybody. I'm not saying that he was told what to write. I'm not going that far, but it definitely was a very pro Kinect story. And you know what?
Agreeing with me. Yes.
A lot of people in my feed today who like Kinect and actually still use it mostly for voice, if not exclusively.
I've said this before in this podcast. Right. Voice is the thing Microsoft stumbled onto. They built this for gestures, you know?
Right.
You're going to stand there and duck and do stuff out in the room. Yeah. But the thing that worked was the voice.
Yeah,
that stuff works great.
Right. So the question becomes, what do they do with Xbox One X for voice?
They need to come out with a little... I'm surprised for the X they didn't build it right into the console, but what they need is something really simple and small that's just a wire with a microphone on the end of it. Yeah. Right?
Right. But there isn't one, right? Like, it's not built into the console, and it's not sold as an accessory, right?
No. You can do it off your controller. If you have a headset built into the controller, you can do it that way.
So that was kind of surprising. The other surprising thing in that article was Microsoft says they sold 35 million Kinects. That's a lot. I was surprised by that number.
First of all, 25 million of those were sold in the first month.
He's going to say it.
Yeah, it was the Guinness Book of Records world record setter for fastest selling consumer product ever. It was then the slowest selling consumer product of all time for the remainder of its life. This is something that was a flash in the pan. Everyone got really excited about it. It's funny. I just mentioned something like this. How much technology? It was probably about Kinect. How much technology do we have? We buy this thing. We're all excited about it. No, I was talking about Windows Mixed Reality. Kinect is the same thing. You use it for 15 minutes and then you're like, oh, this is stupid. And then that's the end of it. And I think that's exactly what happened with Kinect for most people. I know some people love it.
Some business applications of it. Like some things in healthcare I've seen designed around it, you know, where you want hands-free voice control.
But it also could sense your heart rate, right, and all that stuff.
It could do a lot of different things.
Except see black people, by the way. Does anyone remember that? I mean, that was a real thing.
If it is the same face recognition as the one, iPhone 10, I'm worried because it confuses my wife with her son. They look a lot alike. And it always, when she comes in the room, says, hi, Michael. But I don't have any African-American friends, so.
Sure.
Not that I play video games with. So, really, I didn't realize that. But that's interesting.
No,
that's
by the way, one of the most awful things I've ever witnessed was the little girl across the street coming over to play with the Kinect with my daughter and her friends. Could see everyone except for her.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was the worst.
You mean like if they're doing dance, it doesn't even see her dancing?
Wouldn't recognize her at all. Like, in other words, they'd all walk and remember it used to pick you out. They'd be like, there's Mark. There's Kelly.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was the worst.
Now, Apple says they worked really hard to train Face ID to recognize everybody. Because that was an issue, right?
Well, by the way, it's 10 years later.
The Senate wrote to them saying, are you sure it's not going to be racist?
Sure.
Literally. And they said, no, we're sure. But maybe that's why, because of the Kinect. Huh, that's interesting.
It recognized all the middle-aged white guys who work at Apple. It should be fine.
Well, that's the problem, right? There's no diversity in Silicon Valley.
What could go wrong?
How would we know?
Here's a weird question. Guys, weird question. Can you use the Invoke with the Xbox One X to do voice control?
No. That would be nice.
No.
Because of Cortana.
That's a very obvious thing you should be able to do, right? So in other words,
so you could do that with the Google,
you could say, okay, whatever, play this music from this service on these speakers, and it will kind of just go do it throughout the house. I don't think Cortana has that facility. Okay. But by the way, you're right. It should, right?
That would be a good skill.
Very natural ecosystem.
Make your own products work together. What a concept. That's a good idea.
Chris Wolfel, he's the one suggesting that.
Invoke is even more expensive than a Kinect. So what we really need is a $5 part. It seems like a simple microphone.
It seems like somebody will make one. Like that would be a business for somebody, right?
It would have to be supported by Microsoft. I mean, right now the console, I think, can only do this off of Kinect or the controller.
How does, now you've raised an interesting issue. How does Windows Hello do with African-Americans? It's fine, right?
I would imagine it's fine because we've heard nothing about that being a problem.
No, never heard anything about it.
I mean, that's kind of horrible. Yeah. That's like, what? Oh, sorry. Look,
it's been over 10 years. I'm not, it's fine.
I would assume they fixed that.
Yeah, I would think so.
So that's that maybe is a training thing, unless it's a limitation.
Yeah, well, it might not be quite 10 years, but the Kinect came out about midstream through what would have been the normal life cycle of the console. So that would have been, 2010-ish?
It came out in 2010, the first iteration of the Kinect.
Yeah, and I remember, it's funny how consoles have evolved over the years, but that gave it kind of a mid-life bump, right? There was this moment where it was like, sales were probably kind of heading down, and then this thing came out, and for a little while, they went gangbusters again. Mm. And then it ended. So, oh well.
Consumer Reports says Microsoft Kinect isn't really racist.
So it's just partially
this is,
racist.
This is back to 2010.
Well, let me explain how this worked. The issue is lighting, and the issue is size of room, right? And so
Game
in the
Spot
room that I'm in,
a problem. All
okay,
right.
Well, I like I said, I witnessed it. So in my home at the time, the living room was very small. So if I mounted the Kinect on top of the TV and pointed it straight out, there wasn't enough room to the end of the room for it to work. So we had to put it over in the corner next to the TV at an angle.
It wanted so
much. And then the issue became light. And so we'd have to turn on all the lights. But, you know, for this poor kid, like I said, you know, we did. We turned on every light we had. And we couldn't get it to work, you know. And my whole thing is just when it comes to this kind of thing, it's like this is not an abnormal condition. It's not a cellar. It's not in the dark. It's not a closet. You know, it was a normal living room, you know. In this house, bigger rooms, a lot more light too, I guess. You know, maybe it would have been fine. I'm not really sure, but it happened. I mean, you know, my wife, my kids, and myself all witnessed this, you know.
That's terrible.
Not good.
That's terrible. Really bad. That is, and especially to a little girl. Oh, my God.
I know. It was awful.
Jeez Louise. All right. Well, they've obviously addressed and fixed that. We'll see what happens with the Face ID on that.
My cat is now eating my Fitbit charger. I don't
understand. Are not done with our Xbox segment. Oh, no, my friends, because we now have the mysterious case of Halo Master Chief Collection.
So This is interesting to me. I don't know if you saw this, Mary Jo, but when Halo Master Chief Collection came out,
Wait a minute. Did I see it? Do you think I pay attention to Halo news?
You saw this.
Just asking. Go ahead.
You know, I'm trying to involve you in the game part of the show, and I can see how this is going.
There's the gong.
Yes. Right, anyway. Go on, please.
Halo series is interesting because it started, well, actually it started on the Mac, but as far as Microsoft goes, it started on the original Xbox. First two games are on the original Xbox. The second two games were on the Xbox 360, and then there were some side games, right? And then by the time it got to Xbox One, the most recent game, Halo 5 Guardians, is on the Xbox One. So you've got all these different platforms. And the original Halo game was the game that instituted the matchmaking and multiplayer type stuff that became the basis of Xbox Live a year later. It was the first game to offer that kind of stuff. So it has this kind of rich history, but that goes over different console types. So when they brought all those games, not excluding the fifth one, to the Xbox One in the Master Collection, they remastered the first one, especially. It looked really nice and everything. But they had to figure out how to make all that stuff kind of work. And they completely screwed it up. And the thing that's interesting is they've alluded to it over time that they it just never worked properly, the multiplayer stuff in particular. And what's happening now with the Xbox One X coming out is that there have been some architectural changes to the Xbox because of the new console that have triggered them being able to now go back and fix all those problems that they had a couple of years ago. So they're actually going to redo every one of those games. They're going to fix all the back-end problems. Those fixes are all going to be fixed across all Xboxes, not Xbox Ones, not just the X. And they're going to upgrade them all for 4K and HDR and all that kind of stuff on Xbox One X as well. So it's going to be like this awesome – it's basically for the guys who worked in this game and it was like the most disappointing thing they ever did, they're going to get a mulligan and be able to do it over again just because the Xbox One X is coming out. And so the guy who was basically responsible for this has been documenting now. He's like years later, he's like, I can finally talk about this. Sorry about the screen. That's my cat. I don't know what she's doing. And now she's licking her butt. So, cats, they're the best.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I found this to be very interesting. It makes me want to go back and replay some of these games, although I guess I should wait because they're going to look awesome soon.
November 7th, Paul, for the rest of us.
Yep.
So I think I looked at open orders and everything on Amazon. Maybe I forgot to check out. I don't know. So I reordered it.
But Leo, I did exactly the same thing.
Yeah, but I'm worried now. I'm going to get two.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
I know. I can't explain what's going on.
And you have to get a terabyte, right? There's no.
Yeah, they just have the one version.
Yeah. Because I still use an external Because I have a 3 terabyte external hard drive I use with my 1S.
This is my literal tip of the week.
Okay, stay tuned. Because that's what we call the back of the book. And that's coming up in just a second. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. But first, a word about my DNA. Have you done this, Paul? I know you didn't know.
No, I should, though. Oh, I'm kind of scared to do it.
No, don't be scared. For instance, I know that the reason I don't have any back hair is because I have Neanderthal blood.
Oh, what's the reason I have nothing but back hair, Leo? Is that
you maybe are missing that chromosome pair 2, the EN1 gene, you see? See, this is the kind of thing you learn. This is my 23andMe report, and this is so cool. And I did this, by the way, when they first started. And what's neat is they continue to find out more things. That Neanderthal, the whole Neanderthal thing's new. Because when I did 23andMe, it wasn't known that Homo sapiens had interbred with Neanderthals. They thought they couldn't. And then they found some Neanderthal genetic material and some bones, and they analyzed the DNA, and they've been learning ever since that many of us have some significant Neanderthal DNA in us. And I am 4% Neanderthal, I'm proud to say. You can find that out. Paul, you want to know that. I'm telling you. It turns out to be a very good thing, not a bad thing. So, I know. Isn't that fascinating? This, by the way, would be a great thing to do with your kids because it would help them learn about something that is really changing our world, which is genetics. This is in the report. You can get the scientific details, too, about how they found this out, why this is important. So this is totally great in terms of education. I think this would be a great gift for family members. There's other reasons to do that. The more your family knows about its traits and ancestry and so forth. Can you smell asparagus in your pee, Paul? I bet you can't because you don't eat it. But if you
actually, that's amazing.
But if you did, you would know. I mean, seriously, my likelihood is 75%. 75%. So there you go. This is all fascinating stuff, and you could do it right now. What percentage of your need? Let me. I love this report. Let me go back to the ancestry report. That's so much fun. Find out not only what your ancestry composition is, but watch the migration of your genetic material from the world over time. So it all started 65,000 years ago. I'm sorry, 180,000 years ago in Central Africa. Then they migrated north a little bit to northeastern Africa, then into the Fertile Crescent and up into Europe. You can see this from my maternal haplogroup, which is U5A1B1, in case you want to know. Hey.
I knew it.
Uh-huh. They give you, if you want the raw data. And by the way, there's no blood draw. It's the easiest thing in the world. You get a little vial in a special mailing kit, and you spit into it. They do this from your saliva. Over 75 online genetic reports. What?
It just scratched my
skin. Oh, yeah. Don't do this with your cat. Do it for yourself. You get 75 reports and ancestry, wellness, traits, carrier status. You can use the DNA relative finder. This is kind of cool, too. And as more people do it, you'll find more relatives, which is really cool. Let me go back home, and I can see. If you haven't done it yet, do it. If you have done it, get it done for your family and friends. Get a kit, 23andme.com/twit. So here's my they found. Now, this number goes up all the time because more people do DNA, do the 23andMe. 1,184 relatives based on our genetic similarities, including a second cousin who shares my grandmother's maiden name. So I know, that kind of confirms it. And by the way, this is all of this is private unless you want to share it. And I did because I wanted to meet relatives and stuff like that. You can contact them and so forth if they give permission. See, some of these are anonymous. So no blood, no needles, spit in a vial, review results online within 6 to 8 weeks, and there's always more stuff as they learn more and more. 23andme.com/twit. This is the future, and what a fun way to get a family interested in genetics and how this works, and great, great gift for the holidays. 23andme.com. I wonder, though, if you sent your cat's saliva...
Right.
How do you get a saber tooth in there? Well,
wouldn't it be funny though if you sent the cat saliva and they said, we need to have a conversation because I don't think you're human.
Exactly.
Mr. Therat, are your toes?
You might want to go to the doctor.
It's kind of
is that cat fur on your back or
a lot of cat fur in there. I'm never going to get the cat fur out of this room.
Can you smell little friskies in your pee? Or all right, let's enough of that. Let's move on. It's time for the back of the book, and for that we go to Paul Therat's tip of the week. Getting ready for the future.
The future.
The future.
Speaking of hard drives and Xbox One, whatever version of Xbox One. If you have one on pre-order and you want to get started as quickly as possible on day one, you know, consider the following problem. You have to download those games. And those games, if they have 4K assets, are going to be humongous. They're already humongous. Like, I have many games in the 50 to 75 gigabyte range. And so...
So that's why the terabyte is minimum.
But you still have the time, right? Like, you get the new console, you plug it in, you're all excited, and... downloading, and you got to wait. And so one of the ways you can overcome that is to get a hard drive for your Xbox One S or whatever version you have today. With the latest version of the dashboard, they actually support two things that are of use. One is you can configure it to download 4K assets now. So it will actually download them to the hard drive, even if you're not using a 4K Xbox. And you can configure your games to be on an external hard drive, not on the internal hard drive. In fact, one of the things they offer is the ability to copy and or move those games to the external hard drive. So in other words, you've got all your games on an external hard drive with 4K assets, which means that when your Xbox One X arrives, you can plug that into that console and just start playing. You don't have to do anything. The games are all there. And if you're getting an Xbox One X, you should do that, especially for the handful of games you might want to play immediately, especially for those games that have been upgraded with 4K assets, because they're going to look awesome on that console.
Which games? Is there a list?
Yes, there is a list. I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's looking for is Google enhanced for Xbox One X.
And now, I realize I probably ordered the Scorpio edition when I ordered it.
Yep, that's fine, which means... Is that different? No, it's the same. Hardware is exactly the same.
Oh.
Yeah, so Forza 7, Assassin's Creed Origins, Gears of War 4, Middle-Earth Shadow of War, Titanfall 2, Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, that is. And then I think there's 100-ish, 100, some huge number of games. Oh, these are in development, so let's see. So those are the ones.
Right now it's just Forza 7, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, it's just those. Okay, it's just those handful. Yeah.
Shadow of War.
There you go. That makes
it easy. Which one should I get?
Well, Forza is the showcase, right?
Yeah.
I played Assassin's Creed Origins a while back on an Xbox One S. I thought it looked great and was a great game. That would be one to look at. And then Rise of the Tomb Raider, same thing.
So these are actually all new games, it looks like.
Newish games. I mean, I think Rise of the Tomb Raider might be year-ish old.
I find
Assassin's Creed Origins hasn't come out yet, so that's coming out next week.
Right. I find driving games kind of dull.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a big fan.
Well, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of Gears of War 4 only because it was mostly very derivative of the older games, but that game looks awesome in 4K, and I have played that in 4K
as well.
I guess
you're getting it for how it looks, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
How about that Middle-Earth Shadow of War? That looked a little like Skyrim to me. I thought that might be kind of fun.
Yeah, that's not my kind of game, but...
Yeah, I like the fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get that one. All right. Sorry, Mary Jo, this must be very boring.
It's okay, guys. I'm just planning what beer I'm going to drink next.
All right, well, I'll move along to another Xbox tip, which is... Microsoft is having a humongous sale on mostly kind of scary type games because of Halloween. It's called their annual Shocktober sales event. Games are different percentages off, but some of them are as much as 75%. So it's worth looking for. I listed some of the big games, like the Walking Dead games are all 50 to 70% off. But in the 75% range, Dead Alliance, Dead Rising 3, Dead Rising 4, and Oxenfree, which is an awesome game. So 75% off of that, it's probably $3 or something. It's not even expensive, but that's a great game. Resident Evil Triple Pack and Dead Rising 4 are both 60% off. And Resident Evil 7 Deluxe Edition, which is a new game that just came out this year, is 50% off. That's a great game. Also, Resident Evil 7 Standard Edition. So,
what's Oxenfree?
Oxenfree is that it's a side scroller is the wrong term. It's kind of a young adult cartoony kind of mystery thing where four kids go to an island and there's a mystery and they, you know, you solve it together. And you can pick choices of what you want to say and so forth. It's like an indie game.
Oh, and it's, yeah, so it's inexpensive anyway.
Yeah.
And it's pretty, it was on it's Xbox. Scary.
I wouldn't call it scary. It's more mysterious.
Mysterious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Kind of cartoon drawing.
Yeah. That's what it looks like right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Nice.
And also, last week we were talking about OneDrive files on demand. And the question was, no one could figure out how to make it work. Do you need a new version of OneDrive? You know, blah, 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 whatever. It turns out we were OneDriving it wrong. So,
some of those tweets, I was wondering, I thought they know better than that.
So here's the deal. If you've been using OneDrive all along, you are used to how it works now, which means you choose the folders you want to sync. And in my case, I selected very specific folders and I click OK, and then those things sync down. But in the new version of OneDrive, there's this option that says save space and download files as you use them. So you check that off. And now when you sync your folders, it actually doesn't download any of that stuff. It just lets you see them in File Explorer. So because you were used to, and I was used to, I had the same problem, was used to the way it used to work, you never would have clicked all of the folders because you'd be nervous about all of it syncing. But now that doesn't happen. So that's how you do it. So in the settings tab, you just make sure the option save space and download files as you use them is checked. Then you go to the account tab, choose folders, choose all the folders or whatever folders you want. None of them are going to sync. It just makes them visible on your computer. Then you can go into the file system and right click as you want and say, always make these available offline. So it's like they reuse the UI from when it used to work a different way. And I think that was confusing to everybody. It certainly was to me.
Okay. Yes, same. I got it to work too. After we were back and forth on Windows Weekly last week going, how does this work?
Yeah, a number of people tweeted me and said, oh, try this. Yeah, all right, good.
Yep.
Only not in such a nice way.
No, exactly.
This wasn't obvious. I mean, it wasn't obvious at all. Okay, so as far as app pick of the week, this is kind of apropos of nothing really, but Amazon updated the Kindle app this week. What I found is on both Android and iOS, you actually have to delete the old app and then download the new one. I didn't get the update yet, so I'm sure it's coming out eventually. But honestly, this thing looks awesome. So if you use Kindle on a mobile device, you're going to want to grab this. It looks really, really nice.
Nice. I do use it. And as I said, I'm buying the new Kindle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cool.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Very nice. Thank you, Paul. Enterprise Pick of the Week time with Mary Jo Foley.
Yes. So at Ignite at the end of September, we knew that Microsoft was going to issue a roadmap for how it will roll out features in Teams that are currently part of Skype for Business, because they're in the midst of trying to migrate people from Skype for Business to Teams. So this week they published at least a partial roadmap for this. And rather than read you all the different entries in this roadmap, I would suggest you go to my blog because I have listed them all out. There's messaging, meetings, calling. Many of the features that they're adding to Teams that are currently part of Skype for Business are coming by Q2 of calendar 2018. There are some that are going to carry over till Q4 2018. And there are some things that are already actually there already. So I think it's really great they're doing this. Yay, Microsoft for transparency. But as a couple of my readers noted, it's great they're doing it. But do you think they can really stick to this? Because Skype for Business hadn't really had much of an update for quite a while. And this is a pretty ambitious roadmap, I would say. But the good part is if they do adhere to this or even somewhat closely adhere to this, most of the features, even the high-end call, a lot of the high-end calling features will be in Teams and available to Teams users by some point next year. So this isn't some roadmap that goes off into eternity. Like this is mostly going to be done by the end of next year. As I mentioned when we were covering Ignite, Microsoft's not giving you a cutoff date yet. They're not saying you must be migrated by such and such a date. In fact, there is going to be an on-premises version of Skype for Business Server coming out next year. So if you don't even want to go all the way over and you want to keep some of your Skype for Business stuff on-prem, you'll be able to do that. But it's good to see that they are very persistent in getting these features added, because a lot of people were saying, oh, the high-end calling stuff, that's never going to come to Teams. But it is. It's going to come by next year, it looks like.
Woohoo.
Yes.
And now
I have a bonus pick.
A little alphabet for all you children who are learning your alphabet. K is for Kubernetes.
Yes. That's,
you're never going to see that in a kid's book, I don't think.
Is you won't,
the red
probably.
Stuff that used to put on Captain Crunch?
Yeah, Kubernetes. Sure, that's what it was. What is Kubernetes?
So Kubernetes, is it Kubernetes or Netties?
I don't know. You know.
I don't know either. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it's what Kubernetes is a container orchestration technology that Google invented. And Microsoft's been working with Google since 2014 on getting support in Microsoft services for Kubernetes. What's interesting this week is Microsoft introduced a new version of its Azure Container Service for Kubernetes expressly. So before, they had this thing called ACS, Azure Container Service, that supported Docker and Kubernetes and Mesosphere. Now they've introduced just a separate dedicated Azure Container Service for Kubernetes. Instead of calling it AKS, which you might have done to be cute, you know, Azure Container Service for Kubernetes, they called it Azure Container Service again. So there's two things called Azure Container Service. One is for Kubernetes and one is for everything else. Same exact product name for two different things.
That's
a little confusing. But the one for Kubernetes is out in preview as of this week. And I'd say the most interesting and best thing about it is it's free and it's going to stay free. So when you start using this Kubernetes service on Azure, you won't be charged for the management infrastructure part. You'll just pay for your Kubernetes agents. You won't actually pay Microsoft to be managing your Kubernetes orchestrated containers. So if you're a container fan, and who isn't
these days,
go and check out the new Azure Kubernetes Container Service.
And apparently we did a Floss Weekly with the Kubernetes guys.
You did? Cool.
Yeah, a couple of months ago. So look for that if you want to know more. Yeah,
you know, Microsoft bought Deis, which is a big Kubernetes company, recently. And they've been doing a lot with Kubernetes. So kind of interesting that they're continuing that push.
It's the hotness, the new hotness.
It is.
Yeah. And codename pick of the week.
I know. I have an Xbox-related codename pick of the week.
Yay! She's finally getting the religion.
There's a story on IGN this week, the untold story of Xbox One backwards compatibility. And if you're into Microsoft codenames, there's a few of them in this article on their site. But one that I hadn't heard before is Fission, F-I-S-S-I-O-N. And I guess that is the code name for the technology that actually let you run older games, like the emulator for older Xbox games to work on Xbox One. Kind of fitting, given all the things going on with Xbox this week.
Fission. That's a joining Fission. Together as opposed to fusion.
Yes. And so the story talks about how they had two different teams in different parts of Microsoft who are kind of working on the same problem. And they're like, hey, why not let these teams work together? What a concept. See ya.
Fuse them. Or fizz them. Actually, fission.
Fizz them together.
Fission is breaking apart. Fusion's putting
them
together.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Right. So
Now that I think of it.
Yeah, okay. So I'm pretty sure the code name is Fission. I thought it was Fusion. Fusion. Which would have made more sense.
Is it coming together? Fission is it breaking apart. So,
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're confused about their physics.
Or maybe I'm confused. I don't know.
Now, you've got a big election coming up in New York soon. Yes?
We do.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
And that's probably why you chose this beer. Or not.
I'm not getting into politics on the show, guys.
Just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence. No, so it's actually cider week here in New York this week.
I love cider so much. Because it's the apple season. It's when cider...
I know.
Yeah. The press
I haven't done a cider pick in a while. So I said, you know what? Why not a cider pick? So my cider pick this week is from Citizen Cider, which is based in Burlington, Vermont. And they have a cider that they have in New York a lot called the Dirty Mayor. nothing to do with our mayor.
I don't think so. No.
No. And on their site, they say this cider is for the honorable and fully infamous mayor of the only non-town in America, Fort Ethan Allen, USA.
Huh.
And this mayor used to like his cider with a ginger nip.
Ooh.
So this cider has a little ginger and a little lemon in it. And
everything I love in one.
Delicious. I've had it. It's awesome.
Oh, I'm such a fan of ciders because they're a little lighter than beer. And
they are.
Yep. And I, you know, when everybody's drinking wine, I often will just have a cider to be companionable.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be toddling out of there on my, my tuchus.
No. Yeah. No. No. Good. So if you like cider, look for Citizen Cider. They make a lot of different varieties, but this one's really tasty.
Because we have a lot of cider out here because Sebastopol is the it's a big cider area. A lot of
apples. Oh, really?
Yeah. But I remember as a kid going up to the apple orchards, the pick-it-yourself apple orchards, and picking a ton of apples. And they'd always have jugs of cider that you could pick up right about this time of year, right? And I miss that. And of course, that was sweet apple cider. But if you leave it on your back porch and let it ferment and then leave it a little longer, it turns into applejack.
Yep, it does. Hard cider.
I miss those days. Those were good days.
Yeah.
Beautiful New England. Well, friends, that pretty much wraps things up for this edition of Windows
Cat Weekly.
Cat Weekly. So what did you do to keep Sirachi out of the mix?
He went to sleep after I yelled at him.
Oh, he said, my job here is done.
Exactly.
I can move on now. Oh, that is so funny. And what did you do to put the painters to sleep, Paul Theron?
I think they're building a wall or something.
That's like, doesn't sound like painting. I don't want to say anything, but that's...
I don't know if you guys are doing this right.
Paul, I think they're in the house. So...
yeah.
We do this show, and it's fun. Obviously, we have a lot of fun doing it. Every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. If that's 1800 UTC. Although, one more week in summertime here in the United States, and then we're going to revert, and that'll make it 1900 UTC once we do that. Just a word of warning ahead of time. We moved. The UTC does not move. I know. You know, every time I mention that our time changes, people think... I'm implying.
It scrambles my brain. I can't even keep track of this.
Me neither.
It's nuts. It's just nuts. Well, don't worry about it. You don't have to because just be here if you can. But if you can't, on-demand audio and video is always available from every show we do after the fact at twit.tv/WW or on the website or on your favorite podcasts, application, Overcasts. What? I'm telling you, it's not painters, Paul. I just warned
you. They are building a wall.
I can't wait to go see what's happening.
Either they're taking a wall down. If you want to be in studio, email tickets at twit.tv. Nigel and Tamika visiting us from Sunrise, Florida. Well, Nigel's happy here. Tamika's got something else going on. I don't know. No, I'm just teasing. Great to have you. If you send us a little email, we'll put a seat out for you. Let's see, I guess that's all I have to say. Oh, don't forget the chat room, irc.twit.tv. And next week.
Xbox One X.
Xbox One X.
Not yet, next week, right?
Yeah, but maybe there'll be a review. I don't know. It'll be getting
Who
close.
Knows? If someone has one, maybe I do.
If somebody had one, wouldn't that be funny if all this time, Mary
I was the one
Foley's
who had it.
Viewer's review.
So
I don't know what you do with this thing. It's just it has a screen.
Takes up some room.
She knows what to do.
My cat is sleeping
on
it now.
I don't
want
to run any of the games. It's an expensive way to do Netflix.
We'll see. It'll be November 1st, maybe, huh? We'll see you November 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks everybody for joining us. Thanks to Paul Theroux. He is at Theroux.com. You can find his books at leanpub.com. Mary Jo Foley, allaboutmicrosoft.com. And we will all gather together again next Wednesday for another Windows Weekly. See you guys. Bye-bye.